Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Red Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
That set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got cash?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred is here. Andy just walked out.
That's the longest show open in the history of radio.
Brian Moore here has a quick announcement we'll get to in a second, but we'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots, doing picks, getting ready for the Colts coming in. Sunday afternoon, 4:15 game. That's going to be unbelievable. I can't wait.
Who are you picking, Fred?
We'll get into that at 1:30. But for now, it's webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline if you want to join the show. First off, Brian Morey of the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, stop by.
Presented by Raytheon.
And he's got a quick announcement. Quick announcement.
Quick announcement. Saturday.
Yep.
This coming Saturday, November 20th.
Yep.
Raytheon.
Yeah.
Presented by Raytheon.
Has invited all guests on this Saturday to the hall free of charge.
All guests.
All guests. You come Saturday, free.
No matter who you are.
Free.
You get in.
So if you haven't been because you're too cheap to buy a ticket.
Right.
Saturday's your day.
So it's just free.
Free.
How are you going to?
No gimmick. No strings attached.
How are you going to manage that?
Yeah, what if like 200,000 people
We have timed ticketing. Only 75 people can go up every 15 minutes. And then you just deal with it. That's the way. And if you have to wait for your time period to go out.
Every 15 minutes. So within an hour, you could have 300 people.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You better really Lord fluff willing. Up that confetti.
Get Lord
confetti
willing.
Well fluffed.
You come fluffed.
Well, that's
confetti.
Pretty good. I mean,
I heard you're the better fluffer.
If you are indeed too cheap to have bought the $10 ticket up to now, Saturday's your day. And why is Raytheon doing this?
Well, it's a good question, Fred. It's the fifth anniversary of Math Moves You, which is their education initiative, mathmovesyou.com. And as part of that, they'd like to celebrate with Patriots fans.
Well, that's great. So this Saturday, the Hall of Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, free admission. And what are the hours, Paul?
Brian, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
10 a.m.? To 9 p.m.
Paul's the old fat guy with the balding head.
Okay.
So I resign.
10 a.m. to 9 p.m.?
10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Well, that's great.
Last tickets will be sold at 8, so you know, yeah.
So you come, you have a little lunch, you go see the hall, or you go see the hall, have a little lunch.
Plus, you're also going to get 10% off in the pro shop with your ticket.
Wow.
And your ticket has a 10% off coupon for CBS Scenes. So it's
what a day.
It's a trifecta.
What a day.
Triple play, Andy.
great day, and it's going to be cool, but nice.
And listen, the fact that Andy Hart and Paul Perillo like
Andy
the
looks
hall,
unamused by this.
The fact that Andy and Paul like the hall tells you everything you need to know
there
about
you go.
It.
The hall is great
because they're the most cynical bastards on the earth.
You are 100% correct. I am very cynical. I went in doubting. I think it's a tremendous,
but why
tremendous
do you even
place.
Go in doubting? Though?
Because he's Andy
That's
Hart.
What I do. I go in doubting everything.
Well, isn't that a miserable way to live?
No.
It's such Realist. A negative.
It was really bad the day his wife gave birth.
I know. He like he was doubting. Expecting something yeah. to go wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jackson came out okay.
All
well,
right.
Relatively speaking.
All right, Brian. Hang
go
it up.
Go away, please.
You thank you for that announcement.
Thank
again,
you for having me.
Free admission at the Hall of Patriot Place presented by Raytheon on Saturday, 10 to 9. That's
presented
awesome.
By Raytheon.
That's great. That was worth having Brian here.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Nothing could be worth having Brian here.
I think so. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andy, what's going on? Where is everybody?
Paul was literally right behind me, so I don't know.
He must have got lost.
No, they're like literally right over there.
Oh, maybe, did he see a camera and he had a lead?
He might be pooping.
He was chasing the paparazzi.
He might be pooping.
He might have seen a camera.
We lost him yesterday to that. He walked by a camera and just took a sharp right and was like sucked into it. He just can't help himself.
Looks like the door to the can's closed, so that might be a good guess. I'm not going in there the rest of the afternoon.
Oof, no.
Oh, boy.
We just came from a very quiet locker room.
Quiet locker room.
Yeah. Not a lot of players in there and virtually no players until like the last 10 minutes. I talked to Zoltán Mezco, so you may get a poor Zoltán Mezco story because there was no one else to talk to. I went in with, usually I have like one idea. I went in with like three ideas and none of the people I needed for any of the ideas. So I finally just said, hey, Mesko's over there. I'm going to go talk to him because,
right.
you know, any port in a storm.
So did you say, how did it feel being interviewed by Eric Scalavino?
Who?
Zoltán Mezco.
When was he interviewed by Eric Scalavino?
Didn't he do the story on him?
Oh. I don't know.
He wrote a feature on him.
I just asked him about
from Romania with love,
the changes on the special teams, and you know maybe his first example of it's a business. You know, he's been with Jake Ingram the whole off season. All of a sudden, boom! It's,
right.
You know, you got a new guy that's your long snapper, and it's not all that exciting.
Paul, what about you?
In regards to, I missed the beginning of the conversation.
You were lucky because Brian Morey was in here, so you missed a great portion of the show to miss.
Oh, thank God. I talked to Tully Bantakane a little bit, and Rob Ninkovich, just talking about kind of is it maybe the first signs of a resurgent pass rush. Most of the questions that they fielded were about specific game plan stuff for the Colts and Manning and how much the stuff, you know, all the same things that we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. How much of what he does is real and how much is meant to throw the defense off. Is he one of those guys that's really tough to confuse? Things like that. But just I wanted to kind of focus on the five sacks they had against Pittsburgh. Is that something that you can kind of take out of that game and use it going forward, get the momentum of that, and maybe lining it up a little bit in concert with, you know, is it 31st ranked secondary right now? You know, is that really one of the only things right now that can sort of prop that number up a little bit, get a little bit extra pressure? Manning's been under more pressure this year than he has in the past, and I don't know if Andy mentioned it, but we heard Bob Kravitz of the Indianapolis Star this morning.
Yeah.
Based on that conversation, the Colts have no chance in hell to win this football.
Is that right?
I mean, none.
Well, it's also interesting because Bill Polian sort of set himself up for the loss. You know, he was asked, you know, is this a big game because it's the Patriots-Colts? And, you know, he said, really, it's not any bigger than any other game. The winner of this game will not be in any better position to win the playoffs. The loser won't be out of it. Really,
well,
that,
I agree with all that
kind of talk.
But
like,
is he setting himself up to lose? Is
I
he saying
so.
That we don't have a team? You know, we
no,
don't
he
have
didn't
our
say
guys?
That. But I think he's setting expectations so that when they do lose, people won't jump off the cliff.
I mean, I would say that the part that I agree with him about is the teams have combined for five losses. Generally, they've combined for either none or one when they play at this time in November every year. So it's not anything special this time around in terms of that.
Well, we all know that every time the Colts and the Patriots.
Oh, it's a rivalry game.
And,
no doubt about
and
that.
And it could have seeding implications.
Sure.
Of course it could.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say.
But it's not
in
gonna,
comparison to the league, it's the same, though,
yeah.
Because the league stinks and they're two of the best teams in the league.
But every year it's been for the battle for the best team in football over the last, say, I don't know, three of the last four of the last six or whatever you want to call it. It's not that this year. I think that's more like what Polian's talking about. I don't like setting yourself up for failure. That's loser talk. you know, saying, oh, we're banged up, we can't, well, you know, we can't that. Do that. That's loser that. Talk. Yeah. That's why I was wondering what he said.
He did not say that.
You never hear that out of Bill. You never, I mean, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You'll never hear that out of Belichick.
No, that's, I think his greater point was about the league, that there's nothing being set
right.
here.
And right. But I agree with that. But that's, I mean, I think we're saying the same thing, Andy, is usually these are the clear-cut favorites, and this year that's not the case because there are no favorites. There are no clear-cut
but
favorites.
But it also means, Paul, that every game is critical because they're not.
But it's really not.
But they're not heads and tails, heads and shoulders above everybody else. Usually, you know, the Colts are 7-0 by now with a three-game lead. That's not the case this
no,
year.
But my point is, I think that his point is that no one has established themselves as the team to beat. So you can win one, you can lose one,
sure.
whatever. It's just you're gonna be in the same spot next week, win or lose this week. And I would tend to agree with that. And I think piggybacking on Andy's point, in relation to the rest of the league, there's, what, 8, 10, 12 teams that I think are all the same.
Yep, that's true. So what else is going on? I mean, other than that, it's pretty quiet. You know,
it's a very quiet locker room today, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as news coming out for the Patriots, no transactions. Did we hear whether or not Crable cleared waivers or if anyone picked him up, what his status is?
I've not heard anything.
And have we heard if Jimmy Sanders has been fined? I haven't. I checked this morning. I didn't see anything.
I don't believe he has as of yet. I didn't see a FedEx. He wasn't in the locker room.
Okay.
He was one of my story targets that wasn't in the locker room.
All right. So it is pretty quiet here.
Oh, it's very quiet. I mean, for a Colts week, I mean, NFL Network's here because Albert Breer was doing some stuff. But it's pretty quiet. There's just not a lot going on. And I agree with Paul. Bob Kravitz, I think most people were treating this Colts Patriots, Manning Brady, and he's just kind of
feeding
those Cheerios.
Let's face it, if you guys were, you know, on a radio station or the team we're about to play and we had the situation the Colts had with injuries, you'd be saying the same thing probably. You know, I mean, Paul was on NFL Network last night. He was saying the same thing about the Patriots, and they're healthy. No, I'm only kidding. You were good on NFL Network last night, Paul. I watched that.
Thank you.
It was good. You represented.
I did pick the Patriots to win, however.
You did.
Okay, I don't want you to misrepresent that. The Randy Moss, not our Randy Moss, but the broadcaster Randy Moss, was funny because the way he posed the question, he goes, I know you have a dog in this race.
Right.
But, I mean, I just think with the situations on both sides right now, I don't know how you cannot pick the Patriots.
But I don't know how you cannot really think the Colts have a chance. That's
I think they do. I mean, it's a 3.5-point spread.
Yeah, but his point was that's way too low. He thinks it should be way more than that.
Oh, Kravitz, you're talking about.
I don't.
Oh, yeah, no. Listen.
It's Peyton Manning.
It's the same thing that we say about
Wayne,
Brady every week.
And it's a defense that gives up 400 yards a week. I mean, they have a chance. I just don't see how you can
I think that's why it's only 3.5, because the Colts.
Yeah, but Kravitz's
can throw on
point
anybody.
Was it's ridiculous that it's so low.
No, he would be taking the
Patriots. Like 10.
If I were a betting man, I'd be taking the Patriots.
Yeah, well, Kravitz is wrong. Kravitz is wrong. The reason why it's close is because of Peyton Manning and the fact that he can throw the ball on anybody. And then you look at this team's defense against the pass. Okay, that makes it close.
It'll allow anybody to throw the ball.
Right, it makes it close. So,
but don't you also look at the way the first 10 weeks have unfolded here? I mean, how many weeks in a row do we have to show that what happened last week doesn't have anything to do with what happens this week?
Right.
You know, and the Patriots look great. If the Patriots do what they did Sunday and the Colts play the way they played Sunday, the Patriots will win likely the way they did in Pittsburgh going away.
You know, and you look at what Miami, they pulled out a win against Tennessee without a quarterback, literally. You know?
Yeah, that's another thing that's funny to me is all these people now talking about how Tyler Thigpen is the best quarterback that Miami has. You know, if that's the case, then that's a terrible job by Sperano and that staff. You know, if they honestly felt that he might be their best quarterback and he hasn't played while Henny has been throwing all these interceptions, that's a bad job. That's bad coaching. You know, and a lot of them I've heard, you know, when Mortensen brought that up, a lot of them, these guys were on the Dallas staff when Tony Romo was sort of breaking in, and they see a lot of similarities between Thigpen and Romo. Well, then it shouldn't have taken this long for him to see the field.
And
if I'm
Stephen Ross, who owns the team, I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you thought Thigpen was that good, you were about to let Pennington play. And if he did, in fact, play, he was going to earn a lot of money. You know, so what are we doing here?
Pennington did play.
Yeah, and but if he had continued to play, he would have even made even
more. He made money for every game he was
right.
going to play.
It's like $200,000 or something like that, you know?
You know, so I don't think that's a good job of coaching, so I don't believe it. I don't believe that they're that high on ThigPen. Now, I also don't believe that their season's over.
Right.
I think Miami is one of those tough-minded teams that is going to make you work for it. I don't think they're going to give up. I don't. You know, they're 5-4, and in this year, 5-4, you have every much right to feel like you're in it as anybody else. So I don't think they'll pack it in. I think they'll have a tough game tonight with Chicago, and I think that's
probably why they're playing up ThigPen so much, is because they want to keep the morale up.
But Andy, I don't know if you noticed anything about that game. You know, they did my Wildcat thing. You know. Well, they lost Pennington very early. Henny went down in the third quarter. They didn't know if he'd be able to come back. So rather than put in the emergency quarterback, they went Wildcat for the rest of the quarter because they wanted to wait till the fourth quarter before they put ThigPen in the game, which is kind of interesting.
So you all right, Andy?
Yeah, why?
No, you just
made a face.
You're very quiet all of a sudden.
I'm just looking at food that I can't eat. Or does that pizza have tomato sauce on it?
Oh, but it has ketchup, I think.
So, anyway, we've like all of a sudden come to a stop.
I don't like life when you have to think about what you're eating. I like when you see something, smell something, like something, eat something.
Well, that makes life good. Absolutely. It's a change of lifestyle, though, that you're going to have to do.
Yes, I'm trying.
When do you have to do this?
I don't know.
Till he dies.
Probably.
Alex from Georgia says, hey, guys, and Paul, why was Paul so angry yesterday during the show?
Yesterday?
Hey, Paul, hear that? It's the world's smallest violin playing for you. You should have had Brian Morey make a special guest appearance yesterday, and Paul really would have had a little fit. Got to love the comeback that Troy Brown said to T-Fizzle's remarks. Even Rodney had to hold back when he was a guest for the playbook. Like Andy said, I don't know how a football player can actually watch a wuss movie like that. But he needs to look in the mirror and see that, of all things, he looks like one of the monsters from Lord of the Rings. I guess he's talking about Hainsworth, of course. How was Rodney's appearance?
Poor Terrell Suggs.
He was really good.
That's right, Terrell Suggs. Right.
Why was Hainsworth in
that? I don't know.
He spent about 20 minutes with us, Fred. He was very gracious.
And how was he?
He was awesome. And you're right, or the emailer was right, when we brought up the tweet by Terrell Suggs, he kind of took this deep sigh, and then there was a moment of silence where I wasn't sure what he was going to say.
You should have said, you know, we're not on FCC controlled air, so you can say whatever you want, Rodney.
Yeah. It would have made for better radio, right?
Did he make any news?
No, he didn't make any news.
So he didn't say anything that was, like, tweet-worthy?
Tweetable?
No, I would say it was he likes the Patriots' chances this weekend, we'll put it that way.
That's going on a limb.
He usually does. Last week before the game, they were talking about the game, and then they were getting to the very end of the pregame, and Dan Patrick goes, who are you taking? And he goes, oh, Patriots. Like it was a foregone conclusion.
In his response to the tweets, Fred, I think he kind of thought about it for a minute and then just kind of tempered himself. And right. just
he does
wasn't...
work for a major network and can't be.
Right.
He didn't take the Troy Brown road, we'll put it that way.
Who does not work for a major network and can be that way, and who knows? He may be on a major network if he keeps talking like that.
Freddie, I'm glad you brought up the tweet because I wanted to get your impression of something. That doesn't have really anything to do with our conversation right now, but yesterday or last night, I saw some of the people out of New York were tweeting after a Tom Coughlin press conference, and they wrote something, Vic makes Coughlin sick.
Right.
And that's what they wrote. Now, they had the link to what they were talking about to explain it. Now, I didn't click on the links or anything or read it. I thought to myself, wow, I'm really surprised that Coughlin was that outspoken about Michael Vick's character and off-field issues. I was really surprised that he would say something like that, especially leading up to the game. Come to find out this morning, I read the story, and what the comment was alluding to, Coughlin watching the Monday night game and becoming sick to his stomach with indigestion watching Vic
play. See, that's
play. I don't think that's right.
Well, I saw the tweet, and I immediately knew that's what it was about, that it was probably...
But don't you think that's intentionally deceiving people?
It could be, yeah. I mean,
I think even if that's a headline in a newspaper, I think that's wrong. even if you have the whole story there. I think you're intentionally trying to be deceptive there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the same things hold true with tweeting as it does with headlines in a newspaper.
You know, if the headline was Tom Brady makes Tom Coughlin sick, I would have immediately thought what you thought. He watched what Brady did to Pittsburgh the other night and said, oh, my God,
yeah,
I'm sick to my stomach. But this is a guy who has a major off-field incident that has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way and been very controversial, whether or not he's even back in the league. I think that was intentionally trying to make you think that's what he was talking about.
The only
about.
Word you need is performance. Vic's performance makes Coughlin sick.
Yes.
That wouldn't fit in a tweet?
But that wouldn't have elicited many people clicking on the link.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Now, Paul's right.
I think they intentionally tried to deceive people so to make sure that they clicked on the link to see what it said.
Right. You know, Paul's right. I think that's what they were trying to do, you know, it being Vic. So, yeah, I don't know. I like I said, when I saw it, I knew what they were trying to do, but I knew it probably meant that he was sick by watching him, you know, play. So I didn't click on it. Oh, yes, I was just about to read that, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Big happy birthday.
Paul,
to David Ortiz.
Paul from London, buying us lunch today from CBS Scene. So I want to get to his email right off. He says, it's that time of year when I buy you douchebags lunch, as it's my birthday. For some reason, you all get a nice meal on behalf of your 20-year-old British fan. Paul's only 20. First, I'd like to wish the best to Lori, Gary, and Mike. 2 years since they went. I hope life is going well for all three of them. Second, I have a few questions for all of you. One, please, Fred, let Kevin and Big Head do another AK-47 show. It was surprisingly good and beats out such excellent programming as Shop Talk, Inside the Hall, and Cheerleader Chit Chat. Two, Pierre Woods is a free agent in 11. If the Pats genuinely want to trade for him, could he be part of a new backfield in 2011 alongside the law firm Woody and whoever else we draft? Maybe.
You mean Pierre Thomas, not Pierre Woods.
Oh, did I say Woods?
Yes.
I meant Pierre Thomas.
I had no idea what you were talking.
Pierre Thomas, I'm sorry. And three, Colts over unders. Ready? Colts rushing yards, 75.5.
Under.
I'm going to go under, but I believe that's one of the keys to the game.
I agree.
Patriots rushing yards, 80.5.
Over.
Patriots tight end touchdowns, 1.5.
Under.
Turnovers by the Colts, 1.5.
Under.
I say over.
Under.
Finally, best wishes to you all and to Kevin. Put me down for lunch near Christmas. The four guys on this show make Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday fun for thousands of Pats fans. Go Pats, beat the Colts, Jets suck. It's Paul in London. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Much appreciated.
Did you know you shared a birthday with David Ortiz?
Oh, today's David Ortiz's birthday?
Yeah.
35.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Yeah, more like 85. I thought Pierre Thomas signed a big contract extension in the summer, like around the time that he was here with us practicing.
No, Evans did.
No, that was the Jari Evans you're talking about? That was during the real offseason. I'm talking like during training camp, just before the season started. I thought there was a big report that Thomas was signed. Maybe he never signed it, and then he got hurt. And who knows?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. I would take Pierre Thomas. I think he's a solid guy. Solid committee guy, not the man. Solid committee
guy. To be Sammy Morris or whatever.
I think he's better than Sammy
Morris. So you think that that's what they should be looking for as a committee guy, or should they be looking for a feature back?
I think they should draft the feature back.
I'd rather look for a committee guy.
Well, you need both.
I'd rather go for a committee guy and a better wide receiver. Go for a feature wide receiver.
I think they're going to do both.
But if I had to choose?
If I had to choose, I'd take the running back.
Really?
I think... Drafting wide, I agree with you. I want a receiver, but to me, it's a little more dangerous. I think if Bill decides there's a running back that's can't miss, he can't miss for a second time. He did with Maroney, so I'm feeling good about it. Okay. I would like a franchise running back, Fred.
It would be nice to have one, no doubt.
Yep.
But is it worth the price when you know, is it worth giving up a first-round pick for that position?
I think so.
Not to me.
I've never heard, I don't think Pittsburgh worries about Mendenhall. I don't think the Vikings worry about Peterson. I think it's like any other position. If you get the right guy, you don't regret the pick.
That I totally agree with. It doesn't scare me more for a running back because of any higher rate of bust potential. But I just don't think feature running backs are a necessity. That's right. Why I don't want one.
Yeah, but it's awful nice to have one.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think as Tom Brady slows, I would love to have a franchise back.
Doc is here.
Okay.
Every
he
time?
Is here every time there's food.
Oh, okay.
The Kobe Beef Cheeseburger Pizza really catching on around the PFW crew. It's a good, good take.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry in Miami's on it. Hey, Larry.
What's up, Larry? What's up, Larry?
Hey, Kevin.
That was Kevin's fault. He didn't press the damn button.
Oh, no, man. I felt bad yesterday. I was hearing the show. Nobody called in.
Oh, so you're another sympathy call for us.
No, that's not a sympathy call. I was just calling. I just had a few questions.
Okay, what do you got? Shoot.
My first question is, most likely we're going to be paying sub-packages for our defense against Peyton.
Yes.
And I was liking the way we was playing against Ben Roethlisberger with all the stunts and twists. It seemed to get, you know, that pressure that we need instead of lining up and just running upfield. So I felt like, I think they should do that again.
I think you may see some of that. Again, listening to Bob Kravitz, he is just down on the offensive line and how bad they've been for the Colts. Manning's been sacked, whatever it is, 13 times, which is above his normal pace, been hit more than that. And I think you're right. I think it gave the pass rush a little boost. The one problem I still say is I don't know what the personnel is going to be. You know, you can say sub-package, but the Patriots have a variety of sub-packages, including along the defensive front and the defensive line there. So is it Mike Wright? Is it, well, Myron Pryor's hurt, but is it Mike Wright? Is it Will Fork? Are Warren Forst out there? What's the matchups? That would be a concern there for me.
Well, Mike Wright was holding his own against Pittsburgh.
I think he'll play a lot. But my point is if Adai's getting some yards and then they try to sub in Will Fork and he gets stuck out there for an extended drive that they don't want him out there and he's getting tired, and I just wonder his pass rush ability in some of those stunts and twists.
Yeah, and the other part of that is I'm not sure you have to go as much sub-package against Indy as you normally would because just the flat-out lack of depth at receiver, they're all hurt. Well, so I don't know who's going to be out there to be available catching passes beyond Reggie Wayne. Well, everybody else is a question mark.
I was also going to say, Paul, that I think, you know, once they figure out how they're going to take Wayne away, they might take more risks than they would normally against Peyton Manning, you know, because who else is there? You know, Tammy's going to get some catches, but I think they're going to be more willing to take risks in blitz. And,
could be.
You know, I think.
Could be.
You know,
well, the first part of that, though, was interesting. Once they figure out how to take Wayne away, they figure out how to take Wayne away. I don't just make that a given. He's had some good games against this team.
He has, but this year Wayne is having a down year. You know, I was talking to a guy who, you know, a big fantasy player, and he's like, you know, I picked up Wayne beginning of the season. He's done nothing for me, and that's because other teams are.
Doesn't he have 70 catches?
Does he have that many?
I believe so.
Yeah, he got catches. He just has touchdowns.
That's because fantasy football is in no way tied to reality.
Well, I know that, but
I mean, God forbid you'd be on pace for 120
but
catches.
It's not the usual Reggie Wayne production.
I mean, last week was definitely not the Reggie Wayne production.
Right,
he was invisible, but I think overall he's been their only reliable guy. I just think that without, you know, Collie's questionable. I think he'll be questionable anyway. Garcon has been invisible. He's hurting as well. He's missed time. Jacob Tammy has filled in nicely for Dallas Clark. He's hurting as well, even though he wasn't on the injury report yesterday.
No, he had limited participation, I thought.
I don't think he was there.
Really? I thought he wasn't on it.
They have Peyton Manning. That's the only guarantee.
You're right, Larry. You're absolutely right. Just the same thing that we always say from our perspective. Tom Brady always gives you a chance. Peyton Manning always gives them a chance.
And my second question was, I know y'all was talking about, you know, feature backs and wide receivers drafting. I believe that we can pick up a running back, you know, but, you know, it's a passing league. We're going to need that big receiver to, you know, to make Brady, you know, people to, you know, not sit in the box and wait for Brady to dick and dunk all day, you know. And I believe that we should get, like, a big receiver, like a 6'4 guy that, you know, who can – they don't have to stretch the field as much, but it's a down the field threat. You know?
Well, that's what I think, like a Dez Bryant, right? Guy like that, you know?
Well,
what's his
Dez
name?
Dez Bryant,
Green.
He's a physical receiver, but I don't believe it. I would like Calvin Johnson type of receiver. Well,
there you go. I'd like that, too. I think 31 other teams would love that, too. No, I hear what you're saying. You want that big, tall guy, you know.
Who's still fast.
Right.
Yeah, like A.J. Green coming out of Georgia.
I think A.J. Green is one of the best examples for
he's
this year.
He's a beast.
Year. Yes. I would take him. I'm not going to say I wouldn't take
him. I watched
him
play this past weekend, and he was amazing.
He is tremendous. But there's that risk there. The whole receivers is one of those positions. Does it take him a couple of years to come on? I mean, there is a high bust rate at times.
I'll take that chance.
I would, especially with Brady, because whatever it takes normally for a receiver to get on page, the same page, it would take a little less because of Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Maybe.
Exactly.
But yeah, I like him because he's coming out of the SEC.
What's going on in the league that we're losing our draft pick with Oakland because they're actually winning? So that was my last question. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's those draft picks, I think some Patriots fans thought they'd be picking, like, you know, they had negative views of this team, and they were hoping the Raiders would really suck, so you'd be picking 3 and 15, let's say. Well, now you could be picking 15 and
32.
Yeah.
Right.
Or and, 27, 28, 29.
Isn't Jacksonville one of the second rounders?
I believe so.
And all of a sudden, they're 5-4. I still think they stink, but and they're 5-4.
Change.
You know? So maybe they continue to stink the rest of the way, but, you know, win them and lose them, and that's just an average pick instead of, I thought that was going to be like a 34 or a 35.
But you could also see a year where,
right,
6-10 is the third pick in the draft.
Exactly. I was just about to say.
A lot of people think the 49ers are coming on.
Right.
So they're one of those teams that were 1-7, 1-6.
They started off like 0-5.
Right. So there could only be a couple teams that are like 2-whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So there could be a jump there to all these teams that are middle of the pack, fall off late, and their 7-win, 6-win seasons is a pretty high pick.
Right.
So who knows? I mean, I am not going to predict anything for the next.
Hey, Larry, thanks for calling. Larry from Miami.
Yeah, no, I was
no problem,
just, I mean,
Fred.
I didn't know they were, if, I mean, if they go winless the rest of the way, then obviously they're going to have a bad record. But I'm just saying they already have 5 wins, so.
No, I know, but I think any of those teams.
To finish with 6, yeah, I mean, they could go 1-7
the
rest of the way.
Any of those teams, certainly a Jack Del Rio coach team, could
absolutely
go on a losing streak.
Absolutely.
I have no faith
like
in any.
Like I said,
of them.
I think they stink, Jacksonville.
Yep. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because there are a lot of good matchups at the end of the year. Teams are going to start knocking each other off because of the way the schedule, was planned this year. You know, Miami, the Patriots, and the Jets all have to play each other at the end of the season, you know. So
but couldn't there be other interesting
teams
matchups?
In a division that are bunched up are going to give each other losses.
There might also be matchups between two teams like the Jags and Texans that all of a sudden start battling for that third overall pick because, oh, my God, if we lose 2 games, we can have the third pick in the draft after a 6-10 season or whatever. So, yeah, it could be interesting late.
Mm-hmm.
But Patriots will not be picking as high as most people thought heading into the season. I mean, I think a lot of people hope the Raiders wouldn't have 5 wins all year, never mind through 9 games.
Bilo just came in and picked up a lunch. This is great.
It was offered. Yeah. It was offered by Paul.
Yeah.
This is actually good. I'm going to grab another one of these.
Say it. You found it at PFW in Progress.
Thank you, Paul, very much.
Paul from London.
Hopefully he doesn't follow your fantasy advice.
Yeah, we'll see you on the fantasy lowdown at 4.
B-Lo is thanking him, and of course, B-Lo has his show at 4 o'clock, the B-Lo Fantasy Lowdown.
Where he talks directly to Paul, apparently.
So, Paul Perillo is not amused at all.
Eating pizza.
Doing what I do best.
It's a good pizza, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like it.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. A couple people have sent us a link to this Washington Redskins rant. Did you see that on YouTube?
I have not.
Oh, is that something that we could play via your computer?
Do you want me to preview it? I previewed that one stripper sent with the Jeopardy question. That was hilarious.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
I heard something about this on the Hub yesterday, but I didn't actually hear the clip because I was on the phone.
Is this the Redskins rant you're talking about?
Yeah,
I'd like to hear.
I
haven't
apology
heard it.
Late.
The speaker on my computer is broken, so I couldn't.
I'll take a listen, Freddy.
Okay, yeah. Let me know when you're ready for that. It's good wings from the CBS scene.
Based on the bones and carcass you've left, you were, I mean,
oh, and now all of a sudden you're going to be disgusted by the food we eat because you can't eat it?
He actually pointed it out, the way you were attacking a wing.
Well, I have a limited amount of time. I'm trying to talk in between bites.
It was that awkward silence at the phone caller, and you looked to Fred like, okay, what's he going to say to him next?
And Fred, like a big wing jammed in.
Fred's got a giant piece of chicken in his mouth.
Peter in Texas, I'm sick and tired of Andy Hart, he says.
Too.
He keeps shifting the goalposts. First, the Patriots are no good.
Then when they are good, he says the league is no good and he stinks. Andy, you're no good and that won't change, douchebag. Wow. Peter in Texas giving it to he's right, though. You are shifting the goalposts.
I'm not sure I did.
So now the only reason the Patriots are good is because the league stinks.
Did I say that?
Kind of.
No. Yeah. No. Not true. So, unlike you, who said the door was closed on the dynasty, you did say that.
I don't think so.
They are better than I thought they were going to be. I've said that a number of times. Now, I never said they were going to be 6-10. This sounds like some clown who probably believes I was actually associated with 6-10.
Are you willing to say they're better than you thought they would be because the players are a little better than they thought to be? Or are you saying the competition isn't as good as you thought it would be?
The competition's not as good as I thought it would be, no question. Some of these teams I thought were going to be better are not. I mean, starting from game one, I thought the Bengals were going to be a better football team than they are. Right on down the line. I don't think anybody's great. I think it's a down year for the league. But clearly this Yahoo only listens every once in a while because he missed it when I had faith in the defense.
I said the defense would get better, and you guys were saying the defense sucked and couldn't.
The defense then went out and won them football games.
The question I'm about to ask is not meant to, like, you know, antagonize you.
Which means it's going to make me mad.
No, but how do you think, like, in a given year, like, the whole league is not as good? And I'm just asking. What do you think a theory would be to that? How is it that everybody isn't good on this in the same year?
I don't know.
Well, one thing I read today, and I don't know if this is cause and effect, but Alex Marvez had a big piece on injuries. And there are something like 38 more players on IR right now than there were at this time last year.
That's a good reason.
Well, but only if they're good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't analyze every team. He has all the teams broken up into degrees of being affected. He has the Patriots in stable condition in terms of injuries. They've dealt with a few, but not as many. Then they have a bunch of guys that are on life support. Now, the interesting thing here is most of the teams on life support are actually faring pretty well. Pittsburgh, Indy, San Diego is one of those that, you know, kind of on the rise. A lot of the teams that are in the worst category in terms of being hit by injuries have been able to, you know, squeak by, for lack of a better term. So it's not like that's been the reason that teams are bad, but I do think if you extrapolate, I don't think it's outrageous to say some of the teams we thought were going to be really good have just been good. You know, like Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, I thought they, you know, when they won those games without Roethlisberger, I thought they could take off, but they haven't. And maybe one of the reasons they haven't is because they're one of these teams. Again, I don't know every guy, so don't attack and compare and contrast all the different guys that the Colts have on IR or the Chargers. And to me, it's not just guys on IR, too. It's guys that are missing games. You know, like Patrick Chung missed two games for the Patriots. That's a significant injury to me that he missed two games. He's not on IR. He doesn't count on that stat. But that's a significant injury. He's played well for the Patriots defense, as an example.
Plus, some of the teams that people thought were going to be good, we could have told you why they weren't going to be good. The Dallas Cowboys. Well, because you have a clown of a head coach that should be fired already.
But despite that, people really did.
Because they're talented.
That, yes. Yeah.
Or the Minnesota Vikings. It's not going to work because sooner or later Brett Favre's going to suck and it's going to blow up in your face.
But they have that great defense. Or we thought they
or
had
the
that
Cincinnati
great defense.
Bengals.
Right.
You have two talented receivers who are going to be a headache for the quarterback. I mean, we saw reasons why some playoff teams, high level seeded teams, weren't going to be good.
But I think. I don't want to get into a whole philosophical discussion, although we can. You know, it really does lend credence to the whole thing of football being a little different than the other sports. You know, you can have the talent of a Cowboys, but if you got a stupid head coach, it could blow it up. You can have the talent of the Vikings, but if you got a quarterback who doesn't want to play, you know, within the system, it could blow it up. All it takes is that one factor on a football team to blow up the whole thing.
Which I would say the counter to that is if you have a coach and a quarterback, it's hard to blow up. You can have a down year and you cannot be great, but you're going to be competitive. You're going to be good. You're going to avoid starting the year 1-7.
But I still think you need all those, as Teddy Bruschi says, you still need all those other pieces.
To win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think you need all those other pieces to
be
competitive.
Well, the Vikings
I think
are competitive, you know.
No, I mean competitive by winning games.
Yeah.
Like, competitive week to week, winning games in the league, beating teams you should, whatever. I think a coach and a quarterback is not the only thing you need, but it's a big advantage.
Yep.
You start with an advantage every game. So I think the Patriots are as good as a 7-2 record? No, I do not, actually. Because I would compare that to just themselves. Past Patriots teams that had similar records. Are they as good? No. Yeah. Those Patriots teams didn't give up 400 yards each and every week.
I think it's a really interesting discussion to look into.
It's a great question with no answer.
And I would even compare it, just before you go to the break, like 07, when the Patriots went 16-0, I thought that was an exceptionally good year for the league. I thought there were a lot of really good teams. The fact that the Giants were a 6 seed or whatever they were in the NFC, the Giants were a pretty talented team.
Right.
You know, I thought that, you know, I thought Dallas was a very good team that year at 13-3. I thought the Indianapolis Colts were a very good team. San Diego, I mean, San Diego came here in week 2 and the Patriots made them look like a Pop Warner team in that 38-14 game. I thought San Diego was a pretty talented team. I thought that was a good year for the league overall.
It's another team, by the way. I could start checking off teams
the
that
teams
why
that you
they
could
stink.
See it? Oh yeah,
because
the
they have
Smith,
either a bad quarterback
that.
Or a bad coach or a bad
the whole.
You have a reason.
The whole soap opera heading into the
a
season
fear,
for them.
Right.
Now, one of the only teams that everybody predicted that was going to happen to that it hasn't is the Jets.
Right.
Everybody said, "Oh, there's too many things going
right,
on.
Right.
Everybody wants the money, the hard knocks, this, that."
And you know why I think they're good? Because we talked about it. Yeah, it's ugly the last few weeks, but they're still winning.
Right.
They're getting through it.
You can make an argument if this was a good year for the league,
right.
They'd be 5-4
and
playing the way they've played.
And I think one of the things people underestimate with the Jets, because you talk about Revis and Rex Ryan and all the stars that they have, but their assistant coaches is a solid bunch. That's a really experienced coaching staff over
Let's
in the Jets. And
staff.
I think that helps them get through those times where, you know, the offense may not be working. They do all the other things right. They create a turnover and they win the game. They're well coached.
I think they are well coached. I think I think Rex Ryan, as much as he's you know, a lot of blather and whatnot, I think he's a pretty good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach yet.
But
I don't know that yet.
But they have other guys in that squad that you look at and it's like, wow, I didn't know he was on, you know, the
well,
squad.
Well, they have a
I'm not so sure I agree.
Yeah, they have a lot they
I'm
have
not
a
sure
lot
I'm sold on Brian Schottenheimer.
They have and they have a lot of ex NFL players in their staff.
Well,
I have no idea if they're good coaches.
They got Callahan as their defensive.
He was completely terrible
as a head coach.
But
he's one of those guys that probably should never have been a head coach. Was an excellent assistant coach.
Okay, you know? I'll give you him. I'll give you. He's a veteran, experienced coach. I'm not sold on Schottenheimer.
See,
who's
defensive
coach?
I just think that all their coaches are well known names.
I'll give Fred Callahan. If you got to the head coach multiple times, you got a college gig, now you're in a coordinator role. He's not even. He's an offensive line coach.
Because I remember watching the Hard Knocks, and I'm like, wow.
But who's the defensive coach?
Well,
who's next in line behind Ryan?
Mike Pettine.
Oh, Pettine. I kind of liked him. Yeah. I don't know if he can coach, but I'm just talking his attitude. I kind of like him.
And they got the special teams coach.
I think he's a good coach, buddy. I think.
You know, well, that's a key. You know, they've been good on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway. Kevin has reviewed this radio call.
This is classic.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll listen to this. It's from 106.7 out there. The Chad Duke Show, I think. And
that's the name of the guy. Yeah.
So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll listen to this. I guess it's really worth listening to.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
I got to just real quick, Martin. Let me know if I'm going overboard here. My grandfather was a fisherman in Alexandria, Virginia, and passionate Redskins fan. I watched Redskins games with him until he passed away into his 70s. He's one of these guys who would jump up and scream, "Go, Sammy, go," no matter who was carrying the ball, because, you know, Sammy Ball was it for him. My dad had an oil painting of Sonny Jurgensen on his wall, and when it came time to give my old man a present for his birthday or for Christmas, we all know what we were getting him. We were getting him a jersey. We were getting him a piece of artwork. We were getting him something to do with the Washington Redskins. I've been a fan of this team for 31 years, and I don't know how many thousands of dollars I have dumped down this team in merchandise and in jerseys and in tickets. And that was all my call. It was all my doing. I did that by myself. But the Washington Redskins owe us. The Washington Redskins owe me, and they owe everybody else that has ever taken crap from Cowboys fans, that has ever not jumped on the Patriots or the Steelers bandwagon, that has remained loyal in this melting pot. You owe us money. We are not whores, and you are not our pimps. And you cannot go out there with that collection of millionaires, multimillionaires. And I'm not just talking about the players. I'm talking about the coaches. I'm talking about everybody involved in this franchise. You owe us money, and you owe us an apology. Because you went out there and you half-assed. Half-assed isn't even the right word for it. Because if you half-assed it, you can still be involved in a game. And you weren't involved in that game. Both my parents were teachers, and neither one of them ever made a lot of money. But I tell you what, if they would have gone in on their jobs and performed the way that those millionaires performed last night, they would be shown the door. And I don't fault you for making money. This is America. You make your money because people have deemed that your occupation deserves that type of money, and they're willing to pay it. But damned if I'm going to sit here and allow you to go out there and conduct yourselves that way and act like that's okay on,
they owe you.
On national television with your season on the line against a divisional opponent. How dare you conduct yourself that way?
Get him, Chad.
How dare you go out there and go down 28 points and let Mike Vick look like the greatest quarterback that has ever played the game?
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter. And then you score a touchdown, and what happens? Okay, maybe they'll climb back, and it's 35-7 before you can blink an eye. How dare you conduct yourself that way?
You owe us. You owe the fan base. You owe anyone that has ever had to go into a bar. You owe us for having 50% Philadelphia Eagles fans in that stadium last night. Not 30%, 50.
Get them.
You're a joke from the top down. Every single person on that team deserves to lose their job today. Every single person. How dare you not turn in your keys? How dare you not go out to Asper and say, here's my key card? Do you know how loyal and passionate this fan base is? Do you know how much crap we have to put up with? Do you know how much crap we have to put up with people saying you have a racist nickname and your team has been losers for 10 years and the Dallas Cowboys own you and the Giants own you? And we got to deal with every time we go into that stadium, there's 50% Broncos fans and you charge us $35 to park at your stupid stadium. And you sign a bunch of old-ass players year after year after year, and none of them pan out. And Brandon Lloyd's catching 50 touchdowns in Denver, and Ryan Clark's a Pro Bowler. Go screw! You go out there and put on that performance last night. I got to sit here and get these emails and know that these texters are calling in for... What do I tell these people? What do I tell these Redskins fans today? I gotta look at LeVar, who played for this team and has no knees left, and people call in and say that he gave up on the team and that he betrayed them and he went to New York. Do you know what a joke this is?
Get him.
That happened in Maryland. That might as well have been the link. It might as well have been the link last night. And you know what? I don't even blame the fans for leaving. It was raining and crappy and cold out, and 50% of them had left by the end of the first quarter, and God bless the ones that did, because you deserve to do it. Boo them off the field, and then leave and go home and go on with your life. Disaster. Wow. Then Eric Bickle, I love you,
Andy.
I love
that's,
you.
That's more of the, but that's a good rant.
Freddie.
And you know what? I don't blame him.
The DC version of Fred Kirsch.
That's what we were looking for you after Cleveland, my friend.
Well, I was mad that they made me look bad, but that was just one game.
So was this guy.
No, but think about the Redskins. Think about the Redskins and all the money that Daniel Snyder has paid to free agents since he bought that team and the new stadium, and nothing has happened for them since then. Nothing. But the coaches, Joe Gibbs and the guy from Florida that
Steve
they brought,
Spurrier.
All the big names that they brought in, and nothing has happened for them. And they are in, you know, you want to talk about black and blue, you know, the NFC North. That's a black and blue conference. The NFC East is as black and blue as it gets. And, you know, those are hardcore fans. Giants fans get their tickets, you know, inherited. You can't get a Giants ticket. Cowboys fans, obviously the same thing. You know, Philadelphia, hate those fans, but they're hardcore. And so are the Redskins fans. And they do deserve better. And I can understand this guy's passion.
That was worth listening to.
He has tried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've had new coaches, big name coaches,
yeah,
college coaches.
Remember the year they had all the
coordinators making $1.5 million? Yes.
So this gets back to our conversation we were having before the break. What's missing?
The problem was they haven't got ownership,
right coach.
And it's meddlesome. I think that's part of it. He doesn't just step back and hire a guy and give him all the. He's
right
behind the doors.
Vinny Serrato was there for
stuff
a lot of that time.
That Wizard
right
of Oz.
And a lot of people blamed him for a lot.
And not taking the
and
the
he
right
was
players.
A yes man for Snyder.
Right.
So I mean, there's issues behind the scenes, but they've tried. It's not like they've just sat back.
No, they haven't. So my
gone cheap and again, hired Raheem so what, Morris every year.
What is missing? They've got the money. It's not
talent.
Like they're, you know.
Talent evaluation. I mean,
talent at the top.
When I say talent, I don't mean personnel
right
talent as much as I do
hiring
the guys
right
that
coach
are bringing
GM
the players in aren't bringing the right players in.
Right.
You know, I mean,
they're good players, but they don't mesh.
And some of them aren't even
and
good.
I don't think they're all that good. The players that they've brought in, a lot of them have been well past their primes. And they bring him in as high-priced difference makers. You know, Jason Taylor, when they brought him in, it was not a difference-making player when they brought him in. You know, and there's a lot of that. A lot of that kind of player that they go after, the Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders. I mean, just guys that are great players. I'm not taking away from their careers, but when they get them, they're looking at them like they're in their prime, and they're not.
I think they've also been missing the quarterback.
Well, yeah.
They really haven't had the quarterback since – you know, Snyder's been there, right? You know, that's another
thing. I totally agree.
But they also haven't really had the quarterback. I mean, they won Super Bowls without the quarterback. They pieced guys. McNabb is as good as Rippon or Doug Williams.
Yeah.
I think. And so they didn't have – it's not like they went this whole stretch with Tom Brady was the quarterback.
No, I understand.
Post-Theismann, they had guys. Schrader, They move guys in and out, and they were competitive.
And you've looked at them, and you know, I'm talking about their recent past. Now, every once in a while, they make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, Brunel was there, I think, 1 year, and they made the playoffs and won
Gibbs
a game.
Gibbs made the playoffs.
Yeah, they made the playoffs a couple of years back with Gibbs. You know, was it Jason Campbell playing then, or maybe Brad Johnson? Or what, you know, they've had different guys that haven't been terrible, but they haven't had an elite quarterback in a long, long time.
Strippers is saying that a Wilson 24, is there a Wilson with number 24 on the Colts?
No, he's a writer for the Indianapolis Star.
It's so at P. Wilson 24. He says, all quiet in the Colts locker room today. No Collie, Hart, Adai, Session. I seriously doubt any of them play Sunday at New England.
Well, that's huge if Adai doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Philip B.
Well, that could also be another reason why Polian is sort of, you know.
Well, see, if that's what he's doing, then I don't have any respect for that. If you're like, oh, woe is me, we're missing all I got. I mean, fans can do that. That's fine. But if you're Bill Belichick would never allow that to permeate
his organization. No, but if Polian knows these guys aren't going to play, he's not going to. But he's kind of setting expectations for the game, knowing
Bill wouldn't do that.
Bill wouldn't do that.
Right.
Bill wouldn't do that. I have no respect for that.
Next in line.
I would do that as a fan. No, you know, I mean,
not as a coach.
If my, no, I'm saying.
I'd sulk at the podium.
No. I'm saying as a fan, if I'm going to the Patriots game on Sunday and I know that I'm not going to have Brady and you know, all these different key players playing, I'm going to go in there with my lowered expectation. Listen, like Freddie, 98 playoffs.
Yep.
Scott Zolak playing.
Don't remember.
Do you remember Scott Zolak playing?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I went into that game. I'm hoping.
Don't remember. I was writing for the paper, but don't remember.
I'm rooting for my team, obviously. They're going down to Jacksonville to play a wild card playoff game. But I know they didn't have Curtis Martin. They didn't have Ben Coach. They didn't have, you know, actually, Curtis Martin, I think, might have been gone by that time. But they didn't have all of these key players on the team. I knew they probably weren't going to win the game, but I was still hoping. I still had my hope. But Pete Carroll couldn't think like that.
Right.
Pete Carroll's got to put what he can. That's the problem. Pete Carroll did think like that. Bill wouldn't have.
It's true.
Bill wouldn't have gone into that game and said, what, no Terry Glenn, no Ben Coates, no Drew Bledsoe. I can't win this game. Of course he would have. He would have gone in just like any other game. This is what we have to do to win the game. This is our game plan. If we can execute this game plan with what we have, we can win. And they almost won that game, if you recall. They were down 14-10 halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Safe to say that rant wasn't from one of the network of stations that Snyder owns.
Probably.
Because that would be even better if you found out the guy actually did work for a Snyder.
Well, he stopped short of ownership, if you notice.
And he said top down.
Yeah, he did.
That phrase means ownership.
He did.
You're right. Andy's right. He did say top down.
And he said, I mean, a lot of stuff. That was the ticket prices.
Yeah, that's true.
When
that's
you get
ownership.
Into money, that's
right.
That's
parking.
Ownership. That's business.
But he's right. You know, it all, for a fan, it all is
in
the
same. Yeah, but if you got on here and started ripping, like, everything from top to bottom around here, you wouldn't last
long.
Well,
you know what? I tell you, if we had had the history that the
Kill Fred's mic now.
If we had had the history that the Redskins have had over the last 10 years, I probably wouldn't be here. You know?
Well, you would have been fired by now?
Probably.
I don't think so.
Why? Because you would have been too outspoken about it?
That, or they would say, we, you know, that type of, you know, having a paper like that and, you know, a radio show like that probably isn't something we need at this point in our organization's history, you know?
I just liked LeVar Arrington.
I mean, we're pretty
good. Get him!
But he had the high one, and then he would sneak a get him. Like a low
get him.
One.
He gradually worked up to a
crescendo.
Yeah,
he was like.
It was pretty good.
And then he goes, and don't forget the first quarter. After the first quarter.
Right. And Brandon Lloyd's catching 50 touchdown passes for the Broncos.
Who
stuff.
Even knew Ryan Clark
that's
was
good,
there?
That's good stuff.
Yeah, not me.
And I think that, you know, when I do something like that, although I don't have as many occasion to do it as this guy has had, fans, they want people to feel the same way they feel.
I agree.
You know, when Tom Brady's pissed off for a reason, fans like that because it makes them feel like, hey, I'm not the only one that's pissed off here.
Which is why Bill's post-game mono,
right.
Sometimes
whatever,
rubs
face,
people the wrong way.
Rubs it, people
you're
the wrong. Even though he's
right.
pissed, he's clearly
right.
seething.
Right.
He doesn't exhibit it, and there's not enough emotion for them when they are throwing things at the TV.
Right. See, I think that it's clear that he is pissed beyond all belief.
Yeah.
So that's good enough for me, but I think you're right. And Fred, as a fan, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I want them to feel as bad about it as I feel. And sometimes in sports, when you watch all different levels of sports, sometimes you just feel, you know, I don't know how much they cared. You know, 5 minutes after it was over, I don't know how much they cared about it.
Like last year, here,
locker.
Defensive backs.
They lost seven games last year, and I didn't really get the impression that any one of them, maybe with the exception of the Colts game, really resonated.
Well,
I have a good new invention.
Yeah, but that one left a mark anyone who mattered.
I have a good new invention. It's an inflatable locker room that you set up in your living room, and it's got things you can knock over so when your team loses, you can bust it up. And then the next week you can, you know, set it all up again. And
yeah, you put all your investments into that.
I think it would be good for people to get that angst out, you know?
Yeah, but Fred, some people just punch walls and stuff.
Well, now you don't have to. You have your inflatable locker room that you bust up.
Scout's honor, Fred. Scout's honor. After 4th and 2 last year, I broke a toe because I kicked my coffee table that hard. Scout's honor. It was like facing the wrong way. I had to go get it reset in the hospital.
What an idiot.
Jeez.
That's passion.
Well, he actually segued nicely. I was going to ask Fred what loss was the one that you were most upset about, but let me eliminate Super Bowl 42.
Okay.
From the
equation. You know, there's been a lot where I've been up there and I'm like, oh, and I'm ready to punch the wall.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, strangely, I do.
And it's not even at the end of the game. It's usually in the first quarter.
But I think it's different. I think it's different when you're working, because we're, you know, all the games that we've been together. We are supposed to be professional and unbiased.
But no one is.
No one is.
I mean,
matter of fact, you can make an argument that we're as unbiased as anybody in that.
In a world where Michael Silver has a Randy Moss jersey and mask on in the press box?
We were playing. Remember the week we were playing Buffalo?
In a world where all's gone wrong.
We're playing Buffalo, and I think the Patriots were
you
up.
You were rooting for Drew?
This year. Just like. Whatever, a month and a half ago. We were up like 38-24, I think, or something, 38-23. And the Buffalo guys are just like, well, you know, it's another one. And remember the guy that we don't like, I won't mention his name, in the front row, turns around and goes, you guys aren't out of this game. We can't stop anybody. You guys still have a chance. Right. We can't stop the pass.
Same guy who week four said, I got to tell you, this team's got two pretty good young tight ends.
Right, thanks.
Thanks, asswipe.
Now we're rooting for, you know, each other to not be upset.
Yeah. It could have been sweater vest. he was too busy screaming in the air.
Screaming. Brent from Illinois says, Paul seems a bit calm today, so here goes.
Sorry.
This is from Mike Pereira's chat the other day on Fox.com.
I saw this. Played, by the way. Who's this emailer?
Brent from Illinois.
Good job.
He says, the question was, why was the hit on Hines Ward legal?
Oh,
and Mike Pereira says, hi, this is very similar to the hit on Austin Colley a week ago. Hines Ward was contacted first by another defensive player, and that propelled him into a second player who did not lower his head and hit with the crown of his helmet. That is not a foul and should not have been called, and it should not be fined.
We talked about that yesterday. If the NFL deems that the hit from Chung put the helmet to made the helmet to helmet,
but he also
possible.
Said he didn't hit with the crown of his.
But
helmet.
But he did say there was helmet to helmet contact, which is the only point that I was trying to make yesterday.
There are certain times where contact to the head is going to be unavoidable.
Yes.
This was one of them.
And that, too, but that's how I felt about the other one.
But
and
prior,
I know that no one agrees with me.
On. I agree with that. Pryor's was unavoidable. He hit him in the chest, and his helmet continued up.
Slid up, yeah. But he still got him with the.
See,
the
he screwed. Even
helmet.
When he's defending you, you can't side with him.
Pereira, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought
they talk too much. Stop talking.
What I thought Brett was talking about was, I don't know if you saw that, the whole rant that I had about what a catch is now all of a sudden changed. Now they're saying that it shouldn't have been a touchdown. The whole second move thing in the end zone was the wrong interpretation. They continue to take something as simple as catching a
we
football.
We knew that day.
And making a PhD out of it.
It took two months for them to figure that out?
But
they're saying it shouldn't have been ruled a touchdown.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Wait,
the look on your face right now is exactly the appropriate one.
Oh, yeah. Rich in Minneapolis says, can we take a minute to talk about the league here?
Sure.
What has changed in the last couple of years to make it so that there is no number one team? Why is it that any team can win any given week regardless of opponents? This has been the story of college football, too. The powerhouses of college football are all but gone, and the BCS ranking is a joke. Are the two related? I feel like they shouldn't be since the NFL can draft players rather than recruit them. But heck, what do I know? This has been an incredibly frustrating season for anyone who bets on games or plays fantasy football. Good.
Part of it could be turnover.
My theory.
What's other people to be miserable, Paul?
Well, I haven't noticed this as being
Rich has a
recent trend. I think
this year. I think he's talking about college football and pro football this year? There's no great.
I thought he said the last few years.
My theory is that Bill Belichick is to blame. Paul, hear me out. Belichick and the coaches give use a game plan that changes drastically week to week. Given the success of this style, other coaches have also adopted it, and therefore no team is just built to win every week. There's far more specialization in the league today than there ever was. I mean, Bill even trades up to draft special teams guys. Anyway, this has been bothering me, and I wanted to share my thoughts and hear yours. I love the show and think you guys should get paid extra for this audible gold.
I agree.
Let's see if he did say of the last few years.
I'd like 10.
Last couple years, he said. My theory is
I think
last
this year has been much different than
Saints
the last.
Colts met at
Saints and Colts last year were clear cut.
What were they, like 12-0 or 11-0? When did
I think they were both 13-0.
I mean,
and the Colts were 14-0.
Two teams in your comp, one in each conference.
I think the Saints lost at 13-0 and the Colts lost at 14-0.
You know,
and the Colts lost on purpose.
And as far as college, it's been a while that since, you know, the days where if you wanted to be seen, you had to go to Notre Dame because they were the only ones on TV every week. Now with all the cable networks, you can pretty much go into any conference and be on a team that has TV coverage. So that's no longer a recruiting tool that the Ohio States and the Notre Dames can use anymore. You can get the awareness anywhere.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge element of it. But I think also just the abundance of information now. I mean, you can be a kid tearing it up in some small league in Delaware in high school and, you know, put together a nice DVD of your highlight package, even if you're not on all those recruiting websites and whatnot, and you can market yourself.
Yeah.
And someone, you know, some up-and-coming program at a mid-level BCS school that doesn't normally get that caliber athlete might get the diamond in the rough because no one's falling through the cracks anymore.
Right.
There's just so much talent out there.
Yep.
And now it's spread out through all these schools.
Yep.
But is there a different mentality too, a short-term win-now mentality that affects things?
In college?
I mean, yeah.
Sure.
Maybe.
And I'm saying it. Coaches move around forever.
Yeah.
You know, there's not these 45-year Joe Paternos, you know, staking it down.
Matter of fact, that's a negative.
No, that's no. But what I mean is a guy goes to another place.
Nick Saban.
No. But I'm talking about the other way. I'm talking about a guy who's building his program at, I'm trying to just think of a random school that, you know, a Cincinnati. He's not building it to be there for 25 years. He's building it to make me the best coach in America in the next three so I can go to Notre Dame.
I totally agree with you.
I just wonder if there's a different mentality, different approach that doesn't lend itself to greatness.
Yeah, matter of fact, if a guy is at that kind of a level school for too long, it's thought of as a negative.
Right. Like Greg Schiano's not hot anymore.
Right. You know, and because he wanted...
The bloom is off.
Because he wanted to stay there.
Right.
And, you know, there's always exceptions to those kinds of rules, but most of those guys... they turn down a job, and then they fizzle, and then they don't get any more jobs. I don't think Schiano wants to leave. I think he likes it there for whatever reason, but you're absolutely
right. Whereas if Bowden is at Florida State and Spurrier's at Florida and Paterno's at Penn State, if one has a down year, maybe the other two are in their upswing, and you always have these major college players, whereas different people moving around, it changes that whole vibe, changes that whole atmosphere. Urban Meyer's great here. Oh, he's winning titles here. He's moving here. He's just around.
Yeah. Calvin from London writes in, Indy time, so let's begin the Brady Manning debate. Would be interested in all of your guys' thoughts on the subject. For me, Manning has the numbers, although he has had much better receivers throughout his career. But I would take Brady for his leadership intangibles and smaller forehead. What about you guys?
I go back and forth on this. I'm on a Brady kick lately. Maybe it's because I saw what he did Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't think you can go wrong.
There's no wrong answer.
I think I like Manning a little more, but I think that Brady gets extra points for being better in the playoffs.
And Mike from Lowell, same thing. Is Brady a system guy only? Did Manning benefit from having good receivers his whole career? Interested in your thoughts.
How's Manning not a system guy? He's been in the same system.
Yeah, I think it's Manning's system.
They've both been in the same system for their entire career, so that's a wash.
Yeah.
I also kind of bristle at the whole receivers thing. You know, Brady proved that he could do it with Moss and Welker and Stallworth and all that talent, and he proved that he could do it without all that talent with Gaffney and Caldwell, and Manning did too. You know, neither one of them are a product of the guys that are around them. Offensively, anyway. Now, where I would say the whole thing that no one ever really discusses is I think Brady has always had a far superior defense. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the playoff games that they won over the Colts, to me, were about the way the Patriots defense played, not the way the Patriots offense played.
See, I think there's something to the receiver thing, because I think Manning's always had a number one receiver, and I think that makes everything else easier. It's kind of the Moss argument we've had recently. I think Harrison and Wayne have always been there, one or the other, and one has always been at a Pro Bowl level. And to me, that makes it easier to bring in Austin Collie and make him a player when the defense is saying, well, we got to stop Reggie Wayne this week. So it's we're going to have to let
I agree with
catch
that,
balls.
But I would say that 06 is the only year that Brady didn't have a guy that he knew was going to be there.
See, I don't think Branch and Givens were ever true number one receivers like Wayne and Harrison. Well, they were good enough for Brady, too. But I think having
Troy Brown,
to me, see, again, I don't put. No. I think Wayne and Harrison are
Hall of Fame
receivers.
I'm not talking about
Wayne and Harrison might be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, they both are.
I'm not talking about guys.
Certainly Harrison.
I'm not talking about guys that have to go on and be a Hall of Famer. I'm talking about a guy that you know that every time I throw him the ball, he's going to catch it.
But I think that's why people
said Brady has always had a guy like that, except for 06.
No, I know, but I think
but I'm talking about guys that defenses fear that they change the way they approach the other guys.
I'm not talking about what you know the other team thinks of the guy. I'm just talking about Brady's going to drop back and throw the ball to a guy 100 times and 110 times, and 100 of those times he's going to catch it. He's always had a guy like that, whether it was Branch, Givens, Brown, Moss, Welker. He's always had a guy like that except for 06. He had no idea what those guys were going to do in 06.
I give Brady credit for
I give Brady
more
tons
with less,
of credit.
I think.
I do too. Weird.
Thank you, Fred, even though you didn't argue that on
I think he's always
TV
had
show.
A much better defense. Better defense.
That's true. So you could say those two wash out. I'd be willing, if we were going to do the true debate, okay, Manning had better receivers usually, but Brady had a better defense. Cross those out.
Yeah, no.
And pare it down, and you get to the point where you run out of examples and say,
I agree.
They're the same guy. They're both great.
I agree that Manning has had better receivers. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's as big of an issue as it's made out to be.
Todd's...
I think they've both had very good supporting cast throughout their careers.
Well, yeah, or they wouldn't have been the most competitive teams ever.
Right. But that's people think Brady's better because he had nothing for receivers and Brady had stars. I mean, Manning had stars. I don't think that's accurate. I think it's pretty close. That's all.
Todd says we actually, if we had kept a clip of the Redskins rant going, he does say that Daniel Snyder sucks, Shanahan sucks, and he was screaming so loud at the end he lost his voice.
See, I heard a thing where he was apologizing. I don't know if it was at the end of that show, that clip.
Or maybe the next day.
Or the next day.
Aaron says, I love that you played that clip. Living down here in D.C., I get to see on a regular basis how bad things can get with teams not named the Patriots. Really, it makes me appreciate the owner, coaches, and players that the Pats have. Having seen the Redskins team up close for the last 10 years, I am constantly reminded that Snyder made his money as a marketing genius. He doesn't make a good product, but he sells the heck out of a bad one, a poop sandwich sold in a burgundy and gold wrapper. Snyder signs a big name every year and plasters that guy's face all over the D.C. area, only then turn on the guy and run him out of town 2 years later. It's a constant cycle of big-name scapegoats. And 106.7, The Fan, is the only station in the area that is not owned by Snyder, hence why LeVar Arrington is allowed as a co-host. Have a great day, and in the spirit of Thanksgiving, thank you, Mr. Kraft, for being one of the league's best owners.
Good stuff.
There you go.
But it's not all. I mean, Albert Haynesworth was a great defensive player of the year type player. He wasn't
that's not,
end of the road.
He's not one of the guys that's the problem.
And now, but even that goes bad.
But
everything
it didn't
goes bad.
Doing?
Fred and Kevin are pointing back and
read
forth,
what I wrote
their
to Freddie.
I agree with
Kevin
you.
Kevin writes, the guy on the phone is Jordan Brown from Oregon. He's never emailed or called in. He says he's here at the stadium and wants to meet you guys. He didn't give us any notice. I can't leave in. No, people just can't walk into the stadium.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to seek your approval before I start blowing people up.
We can't do that. I'm sorry.
Plus, we already ate lunch.
Dessert
would be.
I'm with Andy on Albert Haynesworth, though. I mean, that's not the typical bad signing they make. It turned out bad.
And you can criticize the money, but you can't criticize the player.
No,
the guy
was in his prime.
Building block for any defense in the league. Give me the worst defense in the league, and it'll be better with Albert Haynesworth.
And I also place a lot of the blame on the Redskins for that. You know, Shanahan specifically this year.
Sure.
Let's see. James Pettigrew, the world's most interesting Patriots fan, writes in. Lady Men of PFW and Lady Boy Eric. Paul gave the nod early against the Steelers. Most of us on Kirschwords were surprised. What specifically went into that decision, and what generally is the thought process in the nod? Sorry about the spelling. I am texting and driving.
Oh, good.
That's a $100 ticket right there.
Only if he's in Mass. He lives in New Hampshire, right?
Yeah, but he said he was buying a house in Norwell.
He was. He's been driving back and forth.
He still has a 603 number, though.
So it makes him so interesting.
Other seven digits?
I
just love the way the Patriots are playing.
The Paul Knott is...
Pretty good.
I mean, people start asking that question throughout the blog. It's become a very popular thing to find out when Paul does the nods, just so you know, Paul, so you get a bigger head than you already have.
No, I know. I needed that.
Then it'll match his belly.
A little bit more of the flavor of the press box. I gave the nod, and shortly thereafter, I was emailing back and forth with Andy, and Andy thought I was insane.
you gave the nod, they were about to score again, then they had another penalty that stopped that drive.
Negative, Ghost Rider. I believe Pittsburgh had the ball when I gave the nod.
No, it was 10-3, and they were driving.
I believe Pittsburgh was in a third and long, was about to punt, was going to have to punt soon thereafter, but it was 10-0. And Pittsburgh had clearly not been able to move the ball. I just love the way the Patriots were playing. I love the spread them out, protect Brady I had seen, and I figured, well, that's what we're going to get tonight. And clearly the Patriots were going to be able to get pressure on Roethlisberger, unlike they have against anybody all year.
Your nods are mostly based on how the Patriots' defense is stopping the other team, right?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah.
It's like at the Celtics game when the game's out of control, they play that Geno song, to kind of signal the game's over.
Yeah, but that really is when it's over.
Yeah, Fred will attest that the nod took place in the first quarter.
Yeah, I'm just saying though, Freddie, the nod could get that big.
Paul's nod is only valuable generally when the Patriots are good.
It could be like
a couple years ago when they were going win-loss, the nod lost its value at some point.
Well, there have been two losses in Paul's career.
We could see ESPN.
Right?
ESPN.
They've lost. See, and I'll say this. There have been a lot of games that I've given the nod that weren't over.
That's what I thought. I thought you had a worse record than two.
No, I don't think I've lost too many games when I've given the nod, but there's been times
you never
where
gave the nod against the Colts when they were up 21-3 or any of those?
That's got to be one of my losses.
I think there's more than two.
Well, listen, I'm just going by Fred. There might be more than two. But there have been definitely more than two, Andy, where I've said, that's game, and then all of a sudden the Patriots turn it over, the other team comes back and ties it or takes the lead, the Patriots ended up winning. I might have given the nod, but that ain't what I expected.
But we could have, ESPN cameras up in the press box waiting for the nod to see.
But he's getting old, so sometimes he just nods off.
He could nod off. Sometimes you have to. By the way, Fred, anything I type to you on that, you don't have to read out loud.
You just told me to read it.
No, to read it, but not read it out loud on the air.
Oh, you guys got your fingers crossed when you were pointing and
gesturing. You were going like this. Everybody got confused.
To work on the communication.
I thought you guys had an instant chat.
We do. That's what I was typing to him.
So you should probably start with, don't read this on the air. ...
Sometimes I read it anyway.
But then Fred would go, don't read this on the air.
Yeah, he'll read anything you put in the... He's like Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy.
Brooklyn. Kevin, you'll like this. You're a real radio guy. I once had to host the old Mike Felger show on ESPN 890.
Yeah.
And taking calls. And, they did it. The host actually did all the buttons and stuff. So you took the calls. You had your screener. You had to press... But sometimes the button would stick. And...
That 800 number,
wrote,
I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Next up, Dan, I think, in
That's
the car.
Me laughing.
Are you listening? I'm telling you a story. It's kind of rude when someone's telling you a story directly to you. You're not even looking at it.
Dan in a car? Go ahead.
And he wrote, he's a kid, so take him quick. And I read, up next, Dan in the car. He's a kid, so let's take him quick. And the kid immediately hung up and got all nervous, and the producer was yelling at me.
It's tough. When we were in here doing the AK-47 show, I don't know if I ever would have survived being the producer. And
you would not have.
Whatever.
You barely did when we were both there when
tough.
You had your mic on while yelling into the phone, hello, AK-47 show.
Brooklyn Matt says, David Ortiz and the fan from London have November 18th as their birthday. Today's date isn't far behind November 7th and September 11th as far as infamy goes, because today is the 32nd anniversary of Jonestown. Now, Fred, turn to Andy and quiz him for me as to what historic occurrence that place is known for.
No idea.
That was the cult, right?
Right.
They killed suicides. Right. The suicide.
Everyone can rest easy. Brady's back at practice.
Wasn't worried. Even when I heard the NFL Network producer say to somebody, we got to be out there for the quarterback. Brady hasn't practiced all week.
I thought
all
I heard
week or yesterday.
All week already.
I thought I heard something about one of the Boston media that covers the team from Pittsburgh, putting out on Twitter that they didn't think Tom Brady was going to play because he was hobbling around in the warm.
Who said that?
I think it was, I'm not going to throw out the name.
Just throw
it
out there.
It
That's what we do. Go.
Because he was on the show.
Who?
Howe.
Oh, Jeff Howe. I don't know.
I will say that I find it amusing, and we talked about this a lot, the characterization of the limp. Whenever it's a leg injury for anybody, I read tweets that said that Brady was hobbling around in pregame, and I read tweets that he had no discernible hitch in his giddy up. I mean, I suppose both can be true. It's all subjective. It depends what you see, but I find it awfully hard to believe that one thought he was limping noticeably and one thought that he had nothing.
But if you were a player, wouldn't you screw with people and just limp in front of them sometimes and then sometimes not? And
in the locker room, maybe. I wouldn't. Not in pregame warm-ups, I wouldn't be.
No.
No, but like I'm talking about during the week.
But this is talking about pregame on the field.
This is warming up.
And I obviously Jeff thought that he was hobbling around a little bit, and I don't know.
I didn't see it. I saw him running.
He was definitely limping in the pregame, but not to the point where you ever wonder whether or not he was going to play. That was never a question. He ran on the field.
Right.
I mean, he didn't even walk on the field. He ran out to the
field. I never see him with a helmet on. He's playing.
He had his helmet on, strapped up, ran on the field, started yelling at guys in the end zone, the fans, yelling at fans.
What did he have with the end zone crowds?
I'm just trying to illustrate. There was absolutely 0% chance that he wasn't going to play.
Do we need more security for him as we travel around?
I think he needs sedatives, not security.
Well, Fred thought the fans were picking on Brady.
They were. They were using bad words with him.
Well, all I can tell you is that he ran out of the tunnel, ran all the way down the field, and started yelling at people.
What bad word do you use for him?
What?
What bad word do you use for him?
Pretty boy?
The F word, but not the usual F word. The other F
word.
Oh,
that's the no-no.
Bag.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. What am I thinking? I'm an idiot.
I went with pretty boy.
You can say that because it's a guy's last name. It's that.
With two G's.
Yeah, whatever.
It's also a pile of sticks and a cigarette.
Brendan from Fitchburg says, there are three reasons I think the Patriots team we see for the rest of the year will be more the one from the Steelers game and not the Browns game. One, mental toughness. Despite all the young players on the team, it's obvious the Browns loss fueled them to work harder rather than make them question themselves. I was severely wrong with criticizing Rob Gronkowski last week. Not only did he prove he can mentally come back from fumbling on the one-yard line, but he did it in style with 21 points. Two, stable locker room.
18, technically.
Last year after the Indy game, things went downhill when turds in
the
punch bowl, like Thomas and Springs, created locker room tension. Now those types of players are out, and the positive role models like Algie Crumpler are in.
Tell Mike Felger, thanks for writing in.
This team is clearly listening to the coaching staff, which Brady alluded wasn't happening last season. And three,
give me a break.
Brady looked good up until last Sunday, where he looked great. Not only was he incredibly accurate, but he had that fire we love to see. It was awesome to see his emotional leadership on the sidelines when he felt points were left on the field. I like Brady the same way Eric likes... Oh, I can't say that.
I thought this was actually Fred writing in.
No, it's Felger. That's basically word for word what he says every
day. But I mean,
day.
They're listening to the coaching, unlike last year. Well, were they listening to the coaching when they were having the worst practice week ever leading up to Cleveland,
right,
by all accounts?
Sean Springs and Adalys Thomas and those guys were responsible for every loss last year, and Randy Moss. Turds in the punch bowl. Brady's been great all year, but now he's at another reached another level.
Well, he did.
This is Mike Felger
in that game,
but he hasn't been great all year.
No, he
hasn't
been great all year.
He had a good game.
Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly.
And by the way, Fred, I was on radio this morning, and they posed a question to me, citing Chris Gasper as saying that Aaron Hernandez didn't play this week as much because he was feeling too good about his two touchdowns in Cleveland.
Oh, does he have an inside source there, or is that just speculation?
I don't know.
I mean,
I wonder if it's one of those things. I don't know. Maybe he was feeling too good about himself.
Right. I don't know. I mean, getting it secondhand, and they threw his name out there a lot. And
they actually threw the ball to him early. He dropped it. But it's not like they were, he's in a doghouse because
he only had two targets, though.
He was not on the field.
After that.
But he didn't play much.
Yeah. He was not on the field.
I think it was game plan.
He didn't play.
I think it's because he's not a blocker.
Well, they needed Crumpler out there more.
Both of those guys can block and catch. Gronkowski, if they have to change a protection, he can block. If they have to change a protection and all of a sudden James Harrison is one-on-one with Hernandez, I think Tom Brady is, picking his teeth out of his poop.
Yeah, I don't know what he ended up with, but I can tell you Mike was charting the plays, and it was late in the third quarter at one point, and he had been on the field for six snaps on offense.
Aaron in Port Jervis, New York. It would seem that I would never even try to go to a Pats game. The first and last game I tried to attend was open game at 08 versus the Chiefs. I decided to go to my second game this season. My wife is a huge Peyton Manning fan, so I wanted to get a ticket to the Colts game. I bought tickets on eBay, and long story short, I'm currently out $700 and have no tickets to the game. And the guy I bought tickets from is not responding. Anyway, overall, with my track record, it will probably be better if the Pats, for the Pats, if I don't go. That's too bad. I hate to hear that happen.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And you know, this is going to sound like a plug, and it is. But I'm telling you, if you are interested, go to Patriots games. And you don't want to go to every game. You want to just go to some games. Join the waiting list. Because you'll have access to the ticket exchange where, for face value, you can buy other season tickets holders' seats that aren't going to the game. And you don't have to worry about, you know, the person ripping you off. And I think it's $100 to join the waiting list. But it gives you access to all that, plus a lot of other benefits. So check it out on Patriots.com. It's called The List.
And it also,
it's worth
$100 goes towards your account if you ever do get upgraded.
Right, if you ever do end up being a season ticket holder,
they just credit it to your account.
It gets credited to your account. So you don't. But even if you don't think you'll ever want to be a season ticket holder because you don't want to commit to the whole season and you just want to have access to tickets for any game that you might want to go to, that's the way to go because it's face value.
And you know the tickets are good.
No scams.
Yeah. Eric's here. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Freddie.
What's going on?
Tom Brady's back.
No.
At practice.
Didn't see it.
No full pads today. A little bit of a surprise. Uppers again. So I don't know if they're going to be taking it light all
and
week.
Where were they?
Same upper fields where training camp is.
Yeah.
I would describe the mood overall upbeat. But businesslike,
okay.
Among the players and coaches. Pryor and Page both remain out.
All right.
So a little bit.
Taylor
less,
run around. You see Taylor at all?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. He's out there. He's running around doing his thing. Less breezy than yesterday, but still, that's a condition that they're dealing with out there. Partly cloudy, a little chilly, 50s.
Nip in the air.
By the way, Freddie, it's supposed to be like low 40s at game time and then get down into the low 30s on Sunday.
Yeah, from Saturday to Sunday,
you better dress warm because
you're supposed to get significantly
get
colder.
Do you have long underwear?
I do.
They'll just have those ribbon boards and flames to make it warm.
It ought to be a nice, balmy walk back to
the
car.
I don't know. It's like thermal something.
Intentionally making fun
Duofold makes a good
Duofold? Where do you buy it?
I was talking about the walk back.
Well, they actually.
You even have to have the best long johns?
It's a New Hampshire company.
Oh, okay.
You can buy it.
It's a Rats Katukis.
Duofold. And then, of course, the Under Armour makes the stuff now, too.
I have the Under Armour top.
The Under Armour.
Like the skin.
But when it.
Crap.
Duofold, I don't know if it still is, but it used to be the underwear of the U.S. ski team.
Oh. So that's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
But anyway,
he's elitist right down to his long johns, literally.
Well, I'm just worried because there's nothing worse than having to do a job and being
stand out there in the cold,
freezing cold.
No, I know, but long johns provide warmth, regardless of the name
brand.
And good
ones provide more warmth.
For the Vikings game, Freddie, I was standing
or
in front
of those
big heaters.
Or you bought into their gimmick.
I've used them before. On some
but have you worn them, taken them off, put the other ones on, worn them, and compared the heat? No, you haven't.
I love when you make that face.
I was hogging, you know, those big heaters they have on the sideline
yeah.
for the Vikings game. I was just standing in front of the thing.
With your boy Jake Ingram?
That's good. That's
not here anymore.
That's good. At some point, you're going to be asked to leave.
He's here for the Vikings
whatever.
Game.
What else you got, Eric?
That's it.
A lot of media?
No? There's usually not.
Do any of the indie people come out early? Advanced guys?
I've never seen any.
No?
No.
Okay. Oh, they have in the past. The big
at
guy
practice,
with glasses,
I mean,
the annoying guy.
At practice, I haven't seen any.
Yeah, they've... I didn't see any in the locker room, but there are, have been in the past. They don't think their team has a chance. Why would they send waste the money of sending a guy out early?
Fair point.
Anything else you got, Eric? In the
That's
locker
it?
Room or anything
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, just very quiet locker room today. Yeah. Not a whole lot going on. The typical Thursday crew.
How was Rodney yesterday?
Rodney was good.
Yeah?
Rodney was good. He was, you know, he thinks that the Patriots will probably pressure Manning more this time because of all the injuries to key players on offense that he might be a little bit more vulnerable this time than normal.
Yeah.
So that's his
I agree with Rodney.
Well, it makes sense because the Colts receivers aren't as adept at making the adjustments.
Right.
So he thinks there might be a little bit more
take some more risks.
Chances taken by the defense.
All right. Harry in Las Vegas says, as I'm still sitting here scratching my head and wondering why the Patriots let Dez Bryant slip through their fingers to the Dallas Cowboys in last year's draft, it suddenly came to me. Any more Dallas has gone to a predominantly passing game with the majority of the rushing going to Felix Jones that leaves Marion Barber and Tashard Choice virtually unused. I think that the Patriots could greatly benefit by picking up either Barber or Choice to add to their rushing game. I'm pretty sure since they're not utilized much anymore in Dallas, such a trade would be very costly wouldn't be very costly for the Patriots. What do you guys think of such a move?
I would take Choice. I have no interest in Barber.
You don't like Barber?
No.
Because of the hype?
What hype?
You know.
Is there hype on him?
Marrying the Barbarian.
No, I don't like necessarily that type of running back.
Good?
He's not a bulldog. He's not that good.
No.
He's not. I like, if I'm going to take
he's
a guy.
He's not that good. What are you?
You don't like the bulldog running
back?
Yeah.
No, I like guys that can make big plays. I don't think he's one of them.
Right. Guys that work hard you don't like. He's on your list.
What am I missing?
Apparently
here?
You're on his list today or whatever.
What am I missing?
What are you trying to get him going?
Poking the gorilla.
Why am I in the crosshairs? You're the one that's saying
like
things
it.
That he's getting annoyed with.
Like what?
Like the whole underwear
no,
bit.
No, I'm with him. I took Brady in the Brady-Manning debate.
No, I'm talking about the underwear bit where he gave me the stare, you know, when you were trying to ask him if he had worn all different kinds of long underwear.
A blindfolded
underwear
test. Are your nuts warmer in these or these?
I like Choice. I don't think that he's gotten many opportunities in Dallas, but I would take him. My running back thing I'm pretty consistent on, though. I think that you I like the way the Patriots go about it with the committee. Now, what they have right now with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis being the head of that committee, that's not ideal. But you need someone to be the head of the committee. I don't think it needs to be a top 15 pick, though.
Okay. Ben writes in from Boxborough. Just wanted to say I love the University of Tampa shout-out in yesterday's show. I go to UT and can agree with everything Fred was saying. A lot of distractions indeed. Anyway, I always make sure I catch the Patriots games, and if they are not on national TV, I'll walk over to Frankie's right next to the campus. They always have the Pats game on and a great turnout. I also joined a fan group called the Patriots Nation of Tampa, and it is a cool way to meet other Pats fans on Sunday and enjoy the game. There is always a big turnout, and we are very loud. Thanks for the coverage, and keep it up. Good luck to your nephew, Paul.
Thank you.
So, he's got a game on Thanksgiving, right?
He does.
He's going to pad those stats.
I hope so.
Yeah. Who are they playing a team that's
Austin
good?
Prep.
Any good?
Yeah, they are pretty good.
Okay.
But everybody's pretty good compared to them.
Oh. Strippers tells us that Carolina has announced their quarterback who's going to start. Brian St. Pierre.
They just signed him.
So, off the practice squad, right?
You can do this. Start the picks now. I'll take Carolina's opponent.
Former BC
Baltimore.
Eagle.
Right.
I don't think he was even on the practice squad.
Then the transaction wire was wrong.
Oh, then maybe he was, if that's what it said. I thought he...
But I didn't think he had practice squad eligibility.
I read something on Pro Football Talk.
No, some guys
they
are
just,
seven
they
year
just signed him this
I
week.
I think he is a seven-year veteran, too, or something
They
like
signed
that.
Him this week, and...
he's going to start.
And he's going to start.
Great. You think John Fox even tries anymore? It's just like, I'm done. What's
well,
the
Well, Clausen's got a concussion now, so he can't play. And the
I'm
other
just
guy's
saying,
hurt.
Like, does he game plan? Does he come in with a bounce in his step on Monday morning to game plan?
Yeah, it'd be hard to take the Belichick approach with what's going on there. I mean, you're 1-8 or whatever the record is, and your team is completely decimated
by injuries.
He's
touching up the resume, working on some cover letters.
James
should
has
I
an
put
interesting...
a little dark in this gray, you know, maybe look a little younger?
Just a touch.
James Pettigrew has an interesting question, and it is, how much would it cost to sponsor the Nod? The problem is there isn't always a Nod. So
can you be bought, yeah. Paul?
No, there are games that the Nod does not come.
Yeah, the Nod doesn't always happen.
See, now there'd be pressure. If it's sponsored, you got to get it in there.
No.
Well, no.
No.
Come on.
I
if
can't
they buy
sacrifice
Nods,
and we could,
you got a Nod.
I cannot sacrifice the integrity of the Nod.
This week we have to say that there is no James Pettigrew Nod. You know, we would have to say it, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. No Nod brought to you by James Pettigrew.
You know, and then the other thing, too, is you can't have a Nod like... Like, say the Super Bowl 42. There would have been no Nod in that game, obviously.
Well, you choke with the Nod in big games.
But then, Paul, you can come up with, like, Nod-worthy plays, market it that way.
But you can't have a Nod. Like, let's just say I thought the Moss touchdown at the end of the game. That was game. Game was over. I can't give a Nod then. There's, like, a minute 30 left in the game. Oh, jeez, you're really going out on the limb. Team just scored a touchdown to go ahead with a minute left, and you gave the Nod.
Yeah.
No, the Nod's got to come.
It's got to come early.
At least in the first three quarters.
Right, right.
If you're going to have the integrity
the
of
the Nod.
In the
Super Bowl
right.
when they tried the first deep pass with whatever, 39 seconds left. As soon as I didn't see them go bump, bump, bump right down the field, Nod.
But that's my point. I mean, anybody could have said, wow, right. Patriots are going to lose now.
I thought they were going to win right up until that pass, just so you know.
I thought they would have a chance for a field goal. I
thought they were
going
to march right down the field, kick the field goal, and then win in overtime.
Josh in Portland, Maine says, Fred's right about getting on the season ticket waiting list. My father and I were able to purchase standing room only tickets for the entire 2007 season and had the ability to purchase seats for their two playoff games that year at face value. So by being on the season ticket waiting list, we essentially had season tickets for the greatest regular season in two home playoff games, all at face value. All right, Kevin, let's take a break. When we come back, this is Thursday, so we go around the NFL.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to Patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
They were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said we had a team in
He did it again!
That's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved and we had to do something different. Wow. That's what I think. Again,
you
I don't know. I'm having an out-of-body experience. I really, really apologize. That's twice in 2 years. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right. The professionals are back.
Paul said that word this week, too.
Yeah.
I said it on purpose.
You know, the S word really shouldn't be a bad word.
Well, I take my lead from Fred.
You know? It's just having sex, but I can't say it.
I mean, how many times does he...
Oh, but that's kind of
He whispers
carnal.
The shirt.
Poop is dirty.
It's literally dirty.
Last
but
night,
it's
Jackson
not dirty,
goes,
dirty.
We don't eat poop, Daddy. I go, good call. I'm glad you're really learning something in school.
Did he learn the hard way?
Oh.
Oh.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. I don't know why I'm giving that up because we're not going to take any more emails while we're doing the
Freddie.
Picks.
Freddie.
Bad week.
Yeah. Freddie.
Bad week.
Do you remember back in week 1 when Freddie was at the top of the world?
Yeah.
hasn't gone so well since.
It's all right. As long as the Patriots win, I'm good. What do you got, Paul?
Overall, not a very good week for anybody. Eric and I went 8-6. Andy went 7-7. Fred went 5-9. With the spread, however, Eric had a very solid 10-4 mark.
Surprisingly.
Look, Andy and I went 7-7, and Fred went 5-9.
Wow.
So for the season, I maintained my lead, 85-59. Eric, 82-62. Andy, 78-66.
I'm coming.
Fred, 76-68. With the spread, I also maintain my lead there, although Eric has cut into that. Cut my six-game lead in half, 74-62-8. Eric is 71-65-8. Fred is 68-68-8. And Andy, 65-71-8.
I'm coming, baby.
That's a little personal.
Out of the cellar, baby.
Something. I'm gonna make a move here.
Do you feel bad that we cost you a win last week?
Why?
I mean, every game counts when you're mired at 500.
We
cost you a win.
We
bullied you into picking the Steelers.
No, you didn't.
We did.
You absolutely.
I don't feel good about it either.
Our 2 week effort paid off.
No, I stick by that pick. I would have picked them.
Just because Andy and I made a bad pick doesn't mean we should have made you make one.
No. I would have picked them. You didn't bull me into anything. So, Eric's sitting there all smug. Mr. Football Pick over there.
Yeah, well, I hate Roethlisberger.
The only guy that picked the Patriots. Right?
On this set, yeah.
On this set?
This isn't a set. No
what
set
is this,
here.
The Merv Griffin Show?
Elaine Bennis.
You can say it, Eric. I was right. Go ahead. Glout. You know, gloat.
No. He doesn't.
Glout.
Go ahead. Glout.
As Felga said yesterday, or somebody who called into the show said, what's the sense of being right if you can't?
If you can't tell everybody about it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. You guys know. That's why I don't listen to that show.
No, we don't know because you're usually wrong. I mean, this is like clearly an aberration, and you should, you know.
No. He said Sergio Ramos was going to be on
his team.
Are you
willing to say now that the dynasty has not ended? Because that was a big – not dynasty, I'm sorry. Era. The era, this winning era of the Patriots has not ended yet. Because I believe there never was a dynasty, so I shouldn't say that. But this,
Fred believed it was over, but now he doesn't.
But you at one point said it's over.
Yeah, I did.
You actually wrote it, I believe, in a comment.
I think I did.
At least give Eric credit.
Well, I think I could go get it out of the binder.
But at least he admitted it.
Yeah.
Fred's going with this. I mean, no tape of me saying it.
Eric, did I ever say that it's over? Do you remember that?
These guys. I vaguely remember you said something close to that.
No further questions.
Well, I would like to know what I said.
I don't remember exactly.
I know in my heart I don't believe it was it's over.
I think you said something in the heat of a moment that sounds very, very vaguely familiar.
Okay. Well, what do you think now about this team?
I think they're benefiting greatly from the bizarre nature of the season as a whole.
I've heard enough. All right, let's get to the picks.
He asked you a question. He didn't want the answer.
Well, no, because he's now going to say that their success is because everybody else stinks.
Well, that's part of it.
But that's what we talked about for the first 20 minutes of the show. People were emailing
in. And
the Patriots just happen to have the up year while everyone is having a down.
No, they
have
the coach and the quarterback. That's talent. That's part of talent.
Those are the kind of things that
make this
team great.
But, Fred, you have to look at this team gives up 10 yards short of 400 yards per game on defense. Great teams don't do that.
How can they be short of it when they've given up 400 yards in every game?
Well, they had that
like
one
390.
Game at
347.
Oh, the Jets didn't get 400.
Yeah, it's like 340.
So, maybe we're overrating that stat, that passing yard stat.
It's not passing yards, it's yards.
How are they in
all
points
yards.
Given up?
They're
some
terrible.
Some of their young players are developing quicker than I thought. I'll give you that. So that's helping.
But in points given up, they're not good.
But I still don't think
Eric's talking
that they're still not a great team. They're just playing better.
There are no great teams.
Right. That's the point.
They don't have to be a great team.
That's the point.
And every year there doesn't have to be a great team. All you have to be is
no, some years there have to be great teams. 2007, there had to be a great team.
It doesn't have to be. All you have to be is competitive every year. And that's what they are.
Why?
To have a chance.
No. They're competitive every year because of the coach and the quarterback.
Whatever the reason is, that era of competitiveness has not ended.
Right. I never said it was. You did.
I never said that.
That's true.
I you know, well, where'd he go? Where's Kevin?
He's right there.
I can't see him behind.
How do you not see?
I don't know. If you have
got signs in front of him.
If you have a free moment at some time, look.
No, we're not going to go back and look. And
what do you want me to look up?
It's a needle in a
haystack. It's a needle in a haystack. I don't know how you'd find it. I don't know when it was exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember. Either.
But you did. You closed the door.
I closed the door. Okay. All right.
Eric remembers these types of things, and he said you did. Paul and I
really, Eric, because I remember distinctly when you said what you said.
Right.
I got all over your ass.
It's often you and Eric can offer.
So why would I get all over your ass if I agree?
I think something happened.
Why are you all over his ass?
What you do to his ass is none of my
business.
Get off
his ass, Fred.
In a football way.
Lather that thing up.
You were upset one day, and you said something I think you might not have meant at the time, but you said it.
Okay. So,
and it sounded vaguely similar to what these guys are saying.
I didn't mean it.
See, now, it's not above Andy and I to make something up, but I don't think Eric would do that.
No.
You know that I didn't mean it, though.
He's your boy.
You probably didn't mean it.
Because I wouldn't be upset with you for saying what you did if I agreed with you.
Yeah, but you do tend to change your opinions rather quickly.
He stated it in stronger terms, and I think his bigger picture was bigger than yours, bleaker than yours.
Yeah.
But you said, it's clearly, it's over. That day of those Super Bowls, that's over.
Oh,
you did.
No,
yes.
I would never have said that. Come on.
You did.
Oh, you guys.
Now,
really...
I don't know. Don't hold it to me. It may have been like the day after the Baltimore loss
right.
last year.
Right. Seriously.
I don't know. There may have been extenuating.
That's what I'm saying. It was a bad moment.
Okay. But
you know
that I don't.
And Andy and I have not said that. There have been times that I don't think they've been a Super Bowl contender in individual seasons. But consistently since 2001. They've been a player in the NFL hierarchy.
All right, we got to. Oh my God, it's 146.
I don't know how we're
going to
make it.
All right, quickly tonight, Chicago at Miami,
Dolphins by 1.5.
I will take Chicago to win on the road. They have the better quarterback. Nowhere near believing Tyler Thigpen is this great quarterback that's been buried behind these other guys. And I think the Bears are going to win some games. I don't think they're a bad football team. They're just average.
Yeah, they've been playing better of late, and the whole quarterback situation in Miami, I'm going to go with the Bears on the road.
Yeah, I agree with what Andy said about the analysis of the teams. However, I'm going to take Miami at home. I think they're a tough team at home, and the Bears haven't proven to be a tough team to me. So I'm going to take the Dolphins.
I go with the Bears as well. Baltimore at Carolina.
Baltimore at Carolina.
This is Sunday at 1.
Panthers getting 10. At home.
Give them 20. I'll take the Ravens.
I'll take the Ravens to win and cover as well.
Yeah, generally the Ravens are not a team I like to lay double digits with because they don't necessarily do that, but how can you not with the state of the Panthers?
Yeah,
Ed Reed versus Brian St. Pierre. There's a touchdown right there.
John Fox has announced, according to strippers, that Brian St. Pierre will be the starting quarterback for Carolina. That's desperation time. Got to go with the Ravens. Buffalo at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Plus, aren't there running backs hurt?
One of them went on IR this week.
And they were both
inactive. The other one's hurt.
So they can't even just say, okay, we're going to run the ball.
Yeah, I think
Steve
Williams
Smith
went
is
on
so
IR.
Wasted on that team. I wish we could
trade
have him.
For him, huh?
Yeah.
Cincinnati by 5.5.
Who are they playing?
Buffalo at Cincinnati.
At Cincinnati.
5.5.
I'm going to take the home team just because I think they're more talented. They're obviously a turmoil team. If the Bills hadn't gotten a win, I'd be going with the Bills here. But, they're feeling good about themselves. They get punched in the face here.
Yeah, I think Cincy's better team, not a whole lot better. But I think they're a better team, and they're at home. I'll take them.
Just for the exact opposite reason, I'm going to take Buffalo. The opposite reason that Andy said. I think because they won last week, they are feeling good about themselves, and they go against the team that's not feeling good about itself, and they pull off a mild upset.
And I'm going with Paul. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is feeling his oats these days, and his Harvard education is helping him.
Going against his old team?
He's
going
to win this game. Detroit.
Detroit.
Travels to Dallas.
Dallas by 6.5.
Dallas by 6.5.
And the fighting Jason Garrett.
Two Thanksgiving players, teams are on.
We know they're
each other.
The Cowboys.
That's what they should do every
crappy.
Year, just make them play each other.
Right. Screw that. I, you know what, Paul? It's the best thing you've said in years.
Twice to fill both slots on the TV lineup. They'll actually have to play back-to-back doubleheader.
No, just
and
make it
one in Dallas and one in Detroit.
Yeah.
Make
it an eight-quarter game.
Won't be any injuries in that one.
He almost said six quarters, by the way.
Right.
I don't know what the significance of that would have been.
Well, that's the compromise if they disagree. We'll say, all right, we'll make it six. But then it wouldn't be a quarter if it's
six, I wish
six,
I could
right?
say that's the best thing you've ever said.
You can't have six quarters.
No, you can't have eight quarters
right.
either.
You can have eight eights.
Yes, you can. It's called a hole.
Sure.
I will take the Cowboys.
You said they're at home, right?
Yes, by 6.5.
Things are a little not happy in Detroit right now. Seems like there's a lot of criticism.
Fire.
Yeah, which is weird because they're fighting the good fight. They're just not getting over the hump. I don't know if it's the injury, the Stafford thing, and the frustration there, but I don't think they're ready to go down there and get it done against a more talented football team.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas at home. Garrett looked good in his first game as head coach. I think he'll keep those players motivated.
And they're not crappy, according to Bill Belichick.
I do like the fight in Detroit, though. But
good fight.
I'll take Dallas to win the game, but I think Detroit will do what they've done all year. They'll keep it close. 6.5 is too many. I think Dallas stinks. And if Manning doesn't, if they don't have all those misplays last week, it's a much different game. So I think it was a fluke win for the Cowboys.
I'd love to see Dallas lose this game, but they're going to win it and they're going to cover. Cleveland at Jacksonville.
Cleveland at Jacksonville. Jacksonville by 1.5.
I'm just going to keep going against Jacksonville, even though they win games in this league. I have no faith in them. I don't have any faith in David Garrard's 105 passer rating. And I'll just go with the tough Browns to put together a nice little win on the road.
I like that pick, too. I think they've been playing well. They're confident, and I think they're going to get a win on the road.
It's a huge game, I think, for the Browns to show. They had you know, three good games in a row, New Orleans, the Patriots, and the Jets. They've played very well. How are they going to fare now when they're playing a team at their level and on the road, a team that maybe a lot of people in Cleveland expect them to win this game?
After a terrible loss.
Right. Let's see how they bounce back.
Everyone thought should have at least been a tie.
So we're all on the Browns.
We're all on the Browns. Okay.
I am on the Browns
Me
as well.
Me too. Arizona at Kansas City.
Arizona at Kansas City. Kansas City by 8.
Mm. Oh, I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs to win at home. 8 points. I'm not feeling the 8 points. I'll take the points. Yeah, that's a big number for them. I don't have a lot of faith in Castle & Co.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs to win as well at home. I think they'll cover, though.
Yeah, I don't like laying more than a touchdown with the Chiefs. I think they're offensively challenged. But I think coming home after that loss, I think they need to stand up for their coach, Todd Haley, and they... I think they blow out the Cardinals.
I'm going to go with Andy. I'm going to say that I'm going to take the points, but Kansas City wins. Green Bay at Minnesota.
Vikings getting 3 at home.
Interesting.
Vikings getting 3 at home.
Wow.
That is interesting.
That hurts. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm just not buying into the Vikings. They just seem like, even when they don't do anything wrong, I was talking to you guys about that bad interception when Shianko fell down. I just think they're a team that's it's not their year. It's not going to go right for them. And the Packers are looking to do something. They're, you know, a Super Bowl contender. So I say they go get a big win.
Yeah, I think the Packers will win 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, I like the Packers big in this game. I just don't think the Vikings are very good.
Oh, Packers too. Houston, by the way, there's no bye this week for any team. Houston,
no
at,
more byes.
Houston at the Jets, Sunday at 1.
Jets by 7. Matt Schaub out of the hospital, expected to play.
Why was he in the hospital?
Infected bursa sac in his knee. Very
knee.
Similar to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Only he didn't require surgery, evidently.
His poor sac. I will take the Jets to win and cover. They need to have a good game and play well. And the Texans are like sacrificial lambs, punanis. This will be the game for the Jets.
I think the Jets win. I'll take Houston, though, with the points.
I agree with Andy. I think the Jets need to not just win, but they need to win impressively. And they haven't played terrible football. They've just been inopportune.
Right.
And I think they need to clean up some stuff, and I think that they do that this week.
Jets don't play well in New Giants Stadium. I'm going to pick Houston. Oakland at Pittsburgh.
Houston winning?
Unless, of course, the Patriots.
Houston winning, yes. Oakland at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 7.
I'll take Pittsburgh to win and cover. I don't think the Raiders are ready to go on the road into a tough environment like that and get a road win of that nature.
What's the number? 7?
7.
I'll take Pittsburgh to win. And I'll take Oakland with the points. I think they will keep it close.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh, and I'm going to lay the points. They also, Oakland went to Pittsburgh last year and beat the Steelers. I think they remember that, Steelers, and they need to bounce back after a humiliating loss last week.
Yeah, I'll split it down the middle. Pittsburgh wins, but do not cover. Washington at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 7.
Return of Albert Haynesworth.
Vince Young, correct?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, because what's his name is hurt for a while.
Saw him limping. I will take. I'll take
Phil's cousin.
I think they're done in Washington. The ship has sunk. It's not sinking. It has sunk for this year. I'll take Tennessee to get the win.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to take Tennessee too, but this is the exact kind of game that Washington wins because of what you guys are talking about, how bad they were, and Tennessee just. Let's face it. Tennessee's not that good either.
Yeah,
well, I'm going to take Tennessee.
Me too.
I just don't know who makes plays for the Redskins. Who do you say, okay, I can count on him this week to make a play?
Santana Chris Cooley? Moss?
Cooley, Chris I would think, Chris is Cooley? A close answer. I have no faith in any of their, like, D'Angelo Hall, Albert Haynesworth,
yeah,
any just, guys that are their supposed good players, LaRon Landry.
Yeah,
I don't think any of them are that good.
Seattle at New Orleans. This is a Sunday at 4:05 game.
New Orleans by 11.5.
Ooh. I don't have any faith in Seattle on the road, so I will take New Orleans to win and cover.
Boy.
Reggie Bush back yet?
I believe he's playing this week.
Oh, even better to cover that, baby.
I'll take New Orleans to win. Give me the points, though, please, Paul.
Yeah, I think New Orleans blows them the bleep out, as Andy would say. And don't look now, but the emerging team in the NFC...
New Orleans.
It was the same emerging team in the NFC last year, New Orleans.
Big upset, Seattle wins this game. Tampa.
Because Fred has him as his number two Super Bowl pick.
Tampa Bay at San Francisco.
Pete Carroll's the coach.
Tampa Bay at San Francisco.
Niners by 3.
I will be on Fred's Niners this week.
Terrific game.
I'm a little
right
bit
there.
Off the Bucks because I've never bought into the Bucks, and the Bucks stop here, and a lot of people still believe that Fred's Niners are going to win that NFC West. I don't know if it happens, but they get the win this week. The Troy Smith era.
I will take the Bay on the road. The Bay at the Bay.
The Bay at the Bay.
Okay, so you're picking who?
Tampa Bay.
Okay. I am picking San Francisco.
There's a lot of Bay in that area.
But I am becoming a believer, Andy, in Tampa Bay. Starting to become a little bit of a believer in Tampa Bay.
Really?
I think this is a tough...
And the quarterback or the team as a whole?
The quarterback especially, but LeGarrette Blount playing pretty well. Aurelius Ben starting to make some plays. They had a good, pretty good rookie class. Pretty good draft class.
The young players are the ones that are making plays because that's all they have.
Yeah, and I've been somewhat impressed by them. It's a well-run National Football League, I might add.
I'm going with the 49ers. Atlanta at St. Louis.
Atlanta at St. Louis.
You're good, Paul. Go ahead.
Just so you know, we're all giggling like schoolgirls here because Robert Kraft just walked in the door to the studio, not our door, but the behind
producer
the glass
just looked
room.
Up from my computer.
And I had my feet up like this. We're just all talking, and I'm like, whoa.
It was not John Rook walking through that door.
No, because that's who it usually is. So, or some slappy I've never even seen before who needs to fix a wire somewhere.
Did you hear me with the
I did. Fine, I did. Fine run fine. National Football League.
Fine National Football
and
League.
Made me even more
he walks
uncomfortable.
Through and's like, who's this clown behind the glass here?
Made me even more uncomfortable because we had a nice chat with him yesterday, but he was in jeans, which I always feel a little different. Today he had a suit and tie on, and he had somebody with him with a suit and tie on. For
business,
all I know, it's the most
business.
Powerful man in the world, literally, was with him. So maybe a little and then Fred starts looking around like, who is that? Who's in there? Because he's blocked by that one piece of paper.
I think we still all have a job.
It's right
I'm
in
sure
the sweet
though.
Spot.
Just
apparently.
Pick your damn game.
What game are we
Atlanta
on?
Atlanta at St. Louis. Rams getting 3 at home.
This is tough. I'd love to pick the Sam Chais, but I can't. Atlanta's a pretty good football team and certainly good enough to go on the road and beat St. Louis in their house. What?
In Dale House.
I like the Falcons, too, and I think they'll cover.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. It's I think it'll be a pretty good game, but I think the Falcons just a little bit better team, and they find a way to win.
I think they are better, but this is a big win for St. Louis. They're going to win this game. 4:15
Fred's
game.
Doing it. He's making a run in the standings.
Yeah, we'll let you know in a couple of weeks what happens, but he's making his run. Listening to everybody's picks,
no,
he's going opposite.
No, baloney.
Freddie making a run.
You know I don't do that.
Yes,
yeah, no,
do.
I know that you would normally pick all the double-digit underdogs to win outright.
Seattle,
anyway.
Big upset. St. Louis, big upset.
Sunday, 4:15, we got to skip over. And go to Sunday night at 8:20, the Giants at Philly.
Phew, now John Rook's walking through the door. I saw the door open again. No offense, John. Last time the door opened, it was Robert Kraft in a suit.
Who's this clown?
Giants at Philadelphia.
Should be a great game. Eagles by 3 at the link.
Very interesting game. The Giants defensive front, which has been, I would say, as dominant at times as any unit in football, and Michael Vick, who at times has been as dominant as any player in football. So interesting little head-to-head matchup there with those guys. I'm going to go with the Eagles. They're playing great football right now. They're making plays. It's not just McNabb. It's DeSean Jackson. What's his name? LeSean McCoy?
No. Yeah. Correct.
Yep.
You got a DeSean, a LeSean. But I just think the Eagles are making plays, feeling good about themselves. They're, you know, bouncing their step.
Yeah, they are. But I think this is a game where the, you know, the Giants laid an egg against Dallas. Eagles put up almost 60 points against Washington. I think the Giants are going to come back and win this game.
I think this is another one of those games that I changed Sunday night when I got home and I saw that the Giants had lost to Dallas. This is a typical kind of Giant. This is the time of year where they're no longer the team that emerges as a team to beat. I think Philadelphia wins.
Yeah, this is Paul's right. This is a great game. I don't think you can really predict what's going to happen in this one.
I'd like to get a chance
to watch
it.
I'm going to go with the Giants, and I'm going to say that their defensive line contains Vic, and that's the key to the game.
That's what I'm going to be rooting for.
That matchup, and to me, how that matchup fares early. Whoever gets a little momentum, feeling good about, because I think that Giants D-line, it snowballs. If one guy gets in early, or two, then all of a sudden, they smell blood in the water, and they're just circling.
But then other times, they disappear.
But so if they run right by him, and he goes 35 yards down the sideline, you go, uh-oh.
And then they're winded by the halftime, forget it. It's all over.
The halftime gets you.
Denver at San Diego Monday night.
Oh, that's helmet to helmet.
Denver at San Diego, Chargers by 10.
Who?
Denver at San Diego.
I'm sorry.
Chargers by 10.
Sam Bradford got hit in the background. I was worried.
It's 2:01.
It's 2:08.
I'll take the Chargers to win and cover. Broncos not on the road.
I'll take San Diego to win and give me the points.
Yeah, I like San Diego big. Chargers to win and cover.
Me too, Paul. Finally, we go back to Sunday. 4:15, Indy at New England.
Pats by 3.5.
I came in today expecting to pick the New England Patriots. I've been on them all week. And listening to Bob Kravitz, now I think they should just blow the Colts out because they're a superior football team to these inferior, undermanned Colts. That's how he made it sound. I also thought one of the only ways the Colts had a chance was a die. I thought if he could run the ball, screen passes, he could be a big key for them. Looks like he's not going to play, I guess, now, based on that tweet you read earlier.
Well, that's just one guy saying it.
Well, you know, you told me to follow tweet and take a lot of stock in it. So.
It is kind of funny that somebody on a Thursday is saying that the player's not in the locker room. That means he's not going to play.
But can you imagine if we said that, you know.
I think as long as they protect Tom Brady, as long as they stop Mathis and Freeney, he puts up points and he puts up enough points to win. It might be a shootout if Manning gets hot. Otherwise, he'll blow him out.
I like New England to win, too. Close game all the way, but I think they'll win by more than 3.
Paulie.
I like the Patriots as well. Too many injuries to deal with in Indianapolis. Too many playmakers that are out of the equation. I think they win something maybe 27-20.
I don't want to 27-21. John Rook smells nice.
God. Was it your day to shower?
He was over here like
I
reaching
showered
over
today.
Me to fix a TV.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots as well.
It's not
Paul, why'd you close
it's,
the book before I made
borderline
my pick?
Manly.
Because
not
I don't ever
top,
have
though,
to wait
Guido-ish.
To find out what your pick is.
Shut the hell up. All right, John, you're up next. What do you got? Buster Crab.
Whatever you want. Yes.
You know.
Yes, Buster
Donna
Crab
Reed,
will be here.
Donna
Reed will be here.
Buster Move.
Yes, absolutely.
Buster okay. Rhymes.
All of the above.
Buster Rhymes.
It's Colts week, baby. We'll get on the Colts for a while.
Sure.
Right?
And ride those Colts.
All right. All right, well, that's John,
nice.
John Rook and the playbook coming up, and then, of course,
which will smell very nice today, according to Andy.
Right. B-Low with the B-Low lowdown. And that's all a fantasy. And as
it's
for us,
just a fantasy.
We'll be back on Tuesday, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.